Blog Talk Radio.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
From Big Hollywood to the Big Apple, we've got you covered, America, with news, politics, and entertainment. This is Blog Talk Radio's number one daily news show, The Stage Right Show. And I'm Larry O'Connor. Thank you very much for listening in tonight. We've got a special show. This is our last show broadcast from Southern California for the rest of the week. For those of you who have been paying attention, for the rest of the week, we'll be broadcasting live from CPAC, that den of fascist right-wing Republicans in Washington, D.C. Tomorrow night, Wednesday night, it will be CPAC Eve, and we'll be broadcasting from the lobby bar with a whole host of fascist, racist, intolerant conservative bloggers who will be joining me, and we might have a cocktail or two as well, so tune in for that one. Then on Thursday night, I'll be joined for the entire show by Editor-in-Chief Mike Flynn from Big Government, and we'll grab whoever we can find in the bar there. I'm sure that we'll have plenty of people because we will be coming from the Big Government cocktail party right before the show. So if you can't understand what we're saying, it'll be fun anyway. And then finally on Friday night, we'll be wrapping up our presentation from CPAC. So please tune in for those, and also please note that the starting times for those shows are changed because of the time change. We'll be broadcasting from the East Coast. It's going to be from 10 p.m. till midnight on the East Coast. That's 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. on the West Coast. But again, of course, all of you can download these as podcasts through iTunes or directly from the archive pages at Blog Talk Radio. Coming up in the second hour, we're going to be joined by Patrick Fry. He is also known and better known along the Internet as Paterico. He does a diligent job in checking things out, specifically at the L.A. Times, and he has a pretty great track record of getting the L.A. Times to issue corrections on various types of articles, and I'm sure many of you know him from his work also not only at Paterico.com but also at Big Journalism and Big Government. But starting out for this first hour, we are joined by Brad Friedman. Now, he is the owner, writer, publisher, and proprietor of The Brad Blog, and the URL for that is bradblog.com. He also has a weekly podcast that he does off of his webpage. It's called The Green. Brad, welcome to the Stage Right Show. What's the name of the podcast again? I'm sorry.
Thanks. Actually, no, it's not a podcast. It is on the Internet, but it's also on radio stations around the country. It's called The Green News Report.
greennews.bradblog.com. Fantastic. Brad Friedman, thank you, and welcome to the Stage Right Show.
Hey, thanks for having me. I appreciate it. You're going to CPAC, are you?
Oh, of course, absolutely. I'm hoping to run into Max Blumenthal while I'm there.
Good. Say hello for me if he knows who I am. I don't know if he does or not. But Ann Coulter, is she going to be there this year?
She has not checked her schedule out with me. She often does, but this time she hasn't.
Well, because she's been
any messages?
Well, yeah. Ask her why she committed voter fraud in the state of Florida in 2006.
You know, when I meet Ann Coulter, that will be the first question that I ask.
Well, it should be the first question because I know that all you guys are up in arms about voter fraud that Acorn never committed, whereas nobody seems to give a damn the fact that Ann Coulter actually did commit voter fraud. We've got the documents at bradblog.com to show it with beyond a question of a doubt. And nobody on the right seems to care. I don't really understand.
And what's
that.
Even more infuriating, I'm sure, is that that vast right-wing conspiracy of a judicial system has come down hard on Ann for that obviously major infraction.
Well, no, actually, she had her boyfriend at the FBI, her former boyfriend, actually interceded in this state case and helped to get her off the hook.
See, it was a vast right-wing conspiracy. I was not being sarcastic.
Well, I don't know if it's a vast right-wing conspiracy. I know it was her former boyfriend in the FBI who inappropriately interceded in a state case. I know that she had a superstar, a former Bush attorney, as a matter of fact, representing her on this case. And she, dead to rights, committed voter fraud down there in Palm Beach County in 2006. And... you know, like I say, I bring it up because, and she's, by the way, still under investigation in the state of Connecticut, who has no statute of limitations, and that's how she got off the hook eventually down in Florida, so she ran out the clock. But in Connecticut, she's under investigation for two different complaints concerning her voter fraud, voting illegally from out of state.
Wow. All right. You guys, you got her. So now, Brad, you jumped right in here, and I haven't even had a chance to properly introduce you, other than just, you know, I gave your webpage and stuff, but I want my audience to get to know you. I don't know if they read your blog very often, so now just you're going to be on here for a whole hour. Now let's just, we got plenty of time to get it to Ann Coulter's dirty past.
Okay.
Let's talk about yours.
All right.
No, I'm kidding. Now, I was reading on your webpage, and I discovered that you are, in fact, like me, a theater guy.
I used to be, yeah. I'd love to be again, but unfortunately I was sort of drawn into this ugly world and into the vortex here. And but yeah, I for about 30 years or so, that's what I did. I was an actor and a director and a writer and made my living doing that.
Now, where are you originally from?
Originally from St. Louis, Missouri.
Oh, all right. Right in the heart of it all.
Yes, sir.
Very exciting. And you went to school at NYU, it looks like?
Went to school at NYU, yeah.
Fantastic. Tisch School of the Arts is a fantastic place to be.
Which was where I graduated from, indeed.
Now, when were you in New York?
Let's see. I went 84, or when did I go? 85, I went to New York, and I think I was there up until I moved out to Los Angeles in about 1996.
This is just this is uncanny, Brad. You and I almost have a carbon copy lives. I mean,
I have been stalking you, Larry.
It's clearly. I come from the Midwest, though a little more north than you. I'm from Michigan originally, and
I went to school up in Michigan. I see
Interlochen. Yes, I see. I actually remember seeing things at Interlochen when I was a kid. So maybe I was up in the hill there watching you.
Where were you in Michigan? I would ask you to show me on your hand, but it's radio. So
exactly. Actually, I do have a webcam. I can show on the webcam. Right, I'm right there, which is the city of Plymouth, which is right between Detroit and Ann Arbor. But we would often vacation right up here, you see, which is Traverse City, and Traverse City was very close to Interlochen.
And unfortunately, I'm not watching the webcam. I don't have it up, but I got a sense of where you're talking about, and amongst the most beautiful places in the whole wide world.
Yes, other than Detroit, Michigan's a great place.
Yeah, except for that, right.
And so, now, and then I was in New York from 86 to 91. How bizarre is this?
It is, and yet I've never worked at your theater.
No, now this is interesting. Funny you should bring this up because, you know, I hate to be a nitpicker, and really these are nitpicking things, but you've been nice enough to write about me twice now on your blog. That's bradblog.com, everybody. And now the first time you referred to me as one of Andrew Breitbart's paid lackeys, I think, or something like that. Minions, I think it was.
I don't think I called you a lackey, but I believe I said you were paid to write at the Breitbart's website, right. like James O'Keefe, and I was incorrect. You said you do not get paid.
We
like
cleared that up, and now just because I know that accuracy is important to you,
it is.
You just mentioned me again in your last post, I think it was, and you mentioned that I work at a theater in Orange County, and unfortunately that's not entirely correct. I don't work at a theater in Orange County. I'm an independent director and producer and manager. I don't work with any specific theater.
I will correct that at the first available
totally
opportunity.
Understand.
At the first commercial break, if you take
you
one.
You do have my email address anytime, you know, just like Max Blumenthal. You know, Max keeps writing about me, and he doesn't bother to return my emails and actually engage me. I'm not a scary guy, right? Just call me, ask me a question. I'll give you the answer.
Well, I think that's a good idea, and which is why I was wondering if you had written to Max Blumenthal to get his comment before you wrote your article about him over at wherever it was, big journalism, big government, whatever it was.
Well, that is a fair thing, and actually my first article was not about him. My first article was about his piece and about James Keefe. My second article was about Max, and yes, I had contacted him directly before I wrote that piece, absolutely.
Your first piece about his article was not about him?
No, it wasn't really about him at all. It was about what he wrote. I didn't need to talk to him about what he wrote. What he wrote was right there on the webpage.
Okay.
So I'll answer your question. For those of you who remember, Max Blumenthal wrote a piece in Salon.com. Which supposedly traced a disturbing pattern of racism in James O'Keefe's life. And actually, Brad, I do want to talk to you about this after I say my piece here, because you basically echoed that as well on your blog. So I think it's always important that we stand up and defend what we write, not what other people write, but what we write. So what Max said in that piece is what I broke apart. And what he said was that James O'Keefe had planned a racist conference, I believe was the word that he used, or a white supremacist conference. There was a photograph showing him at a table full of racist literature, and that what was the third thing that they said about him? That it was a white supremacist conference, when in fact it was a debate of three people. One of them was a white supremacist, but the other two people on the panel were not white supremacists. So to call it a white – I mean, you know, listen, Dave Wild was a pretty independent-minded guy. Wouldn't you agree?
Who is?
David Weigel at the Washington Independent.
David – yes, he is.
And he himself has come out and said it's really not a fair characterization to call this a white supremacist conference.
Well, what was interesting, though, and yet you said that Max Blumenthal called James O'Keefe a racist and a white supremacist. Did Max Blumenthal call James O'Keefe a white supremacist?
Well, he linked him with white supremacists, and yes, I believe that he did. I mean, look at the article itself. He said that he planned a white supremacist conference. It said that he has a history of racial do I need to pull up the whole thing?
Well, you
right
had
now?
Said that he called him a racist and a white supremacist. And you also tweeted many times, and I think this is where I first noticed you at all, you had said that Max Blumenthal was lying. Now, you know, there's a difference between getting a story wrong and lying. And mm-hmm. where there was, I noticed that Salon, I think you had even tweeted to me at one point, Larry, how do you feel about Salon, or how do you suppose Max Blumenthal feels that Salon had to issue a retraction? Or a correction or whatever it was. And I
right.
said, well, that's what journalists do. They issue corrections when they get stories wrong. And that is decidedly, unfortunately, not what I've seen from folks like Andrew Breitbart, folks like your next guest. And, you know, people get things wrong. That's the way it goes, and that's why journalists do corrections. There's nothing
wrong
with that.
So you think when Max said that he planned this conference, he just got it wrong?
That's actually what a source told him, apparently, as I understand, as I read his story. That's what this source, Isis, whatever her name was, had apparently told him. Yeah.
Actually, according to Max, that's not what Isis told him.
Okay.
I mean, she doesn't say that he planned it. She said the only thing that Isis says, and by the way, to hang your hat on ISIS's description of what happened is kind of a thin supporting eyewitness. Don't
well,
you?
Well, look, there's nothing wrong if you want to call him on the carpet for you know not having enough sources, for having a thin sourcing as you just described
well,
him.
He claims he has one source, and that source is thin. But
okay.
That source does not claim that she knows that James O'Keefe planned the conference.
And that's
she
fine.
Never said it. She never
hold
said it.
It. Well, hold
where
him.
Did he? Where did he create that? Where did he?
Well, I can't respond to you what Blumenthal, you
okay.
know, why he reported
Good.
What he did or not.
You're right. You can't. But Max has never produced any eyewitness or any source to say that O'Keefe planned the event. No one has ever said that O'Keefe planned the event.
Well, I believe that ISIS said that he was there, he was helping with the event, he was working with the guy. You know, again, I don't
there
know.
There is one person on record saying that James O'Keefe planned this event. That
well,
one
that's right.
person is Max Blumenthal.
Oh, okay.
I'd have to go back
and look at what Blumenthal said, what ISIS said. My point is, if you have a criticism of Blumenthal or of Salon, if you want to hold their feet to the fire, and I welcome you to do so, I'm glad you do, because, you know, media folks fail us constantly, left and right. Hold them accountable. Get that correction. That's fine. But, you know, to say that he lied when you don't know that he lied, to say that he called James O'Keefe a racist and a white supremacist when he did not do so.
Let's start with the first one.
Okay.
He said that James O'Keefe planned the conference. He has not been able to bring out any witness or any source to support that. He is the only one on record to have said it. I have given him ample opportunity to tell me what his source is.
Then hold him accountable for it.
And
not
I have, but that is a lie. It is a lie. Why can't you call a lie a lie?
Well, I can call a lie, and I will call a lie, and I will call, you know, folks like Ann Coulter, who lied about committing voter fraud, a liar.
You like to call people you don't like a lie, but you raise Max
I call people who I can prove are lying a liar.
I just proved that this is a lie. I just proved
it to you.
There's no supporting evidence, and he hasn't supported it, and his employer, Salon.com, believes that it was erroneous.
Okay, it was erroneous. There is a difference. That's exactly right. If it was erroneous, it was erroneous. And again, I'll have to go back. I'll have to look up the sources for you. I'll have to see what ISIS or whatever her name said. I think even on one of your own blog items, you quoted something that she said about he was there helping the guy or something like this. It sounds completely feasible.
Here's the problem, Brad, and this is the real problem. If all Max had was, James O'Keefe was at this debate where a racist happened to be at the debate as one of the speakers at the debate, and he was there helping out. That's not a story, right? I mean, that's really not a story.
Well, no, because that wasn't all that was in his. That was not all that was in his story.
That was
not by a long shot.
It was the subhead. It was the photoshopped caption and the article. It was the first five paragraphs of the article. And then they try to tie it to all these other events that have also been shot down in the past. Listen, Brad, you got to admit, there's not a whole lot there with regard to James O'Keefe and this event.
And having – well, no, no. The story was actually – my understanding, and again – have him on. Ask his opinion.
Oh,
don't
I've
ask me because I didn't write the story.
Well,
what
wait a minute. You have described this as great reporting in your blog.
I thought it was great reporting, actually, because what he brought together. I will tell you what I found to be great reporting.
Thank you.
Now, you have called him. You have said that Max O'Keefe called James. That Max Blumenthal called James O'Keefe a racist and a white supremacist. And I suggest you would be real ticked off if Blumenthal had made a statement like that and couldn't prove it. You might even call him a liar. That said, I thought what was right on the money was how Blumenthal pulled together all of these dots from O'Keefe's past and present. Concerning his racist obsessions. And I think that that's very clear and it's fair, and O'Keefe can answer to it or not as he wishes, but clearly he's got an obsession with these race issues. Would you disagree?
I would absolutely disagree.
He called abortion clinics and said, I will give money, but only to abort black babies. Hold on.
Yeah. Let's talk about that one thing. Now, don't you think you do? You did read about this story, right? And you do understand this story, don't you?
What do you mean? Do I understand?
The purpose. He was working with Lila Rose. Lila Rose is an anti-abortion activist. James O'Keefe is also an anti-abortion activist. You know that Planned Parenthood, or you know, I won't even say it was a fact. Many people believe that Planned Parenthood, through Margaret Sanger, its founder, has its roots in eugenics and racist ideals. Would you agree that many people believe that?
I have not studied it enough to answer that question one way or another because
it doesn't interest me all that much. The point that James O'Keefe was making was he was not – so you believe that when James O'Keefe made those phone calls, he truly, truly in his heart wanted black babies aborted?
No, of course not. I believe that he was making a point, and you interrupted me when you had asked me what I liked about Blumenthal's piece and why I thought it was great, and I was trying to explain that to you.
Let me explain why I interrupted you, because I want to take them one at a time. Because people say he's got this history, and they rattle off these bam, 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 bam. And each one of those things very good and non-racist explanation.
That's fine.
So let's go one at a time.
Let me go bam, 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 because the point is these racial obsessions that he has that I believe are notable. Now, if you want to discuss each and every one of them, that's up to you. I've got no problem with that. But my point is I believe he's got a clear racial obsession going on.
Not if each one of them can get shot down as showing that his real problem has to do with sacred cows of the liberal establishment.
Apparently one of the sacred cows that he has a problem with is the way liberals, as he sees them, deals with African Americans. He did this, whatever the stunt was, where he called and said, I'll give money, but only for aborting black babies. He had a bake sale on campus, apparently, where he had one price for white people and a cheaper price for black people, and apparently American Indians get it all free.
They got it free, yeah.
Right.
That was an affirmative action bake sale. Can I ask you a question? Can a person be against affirmative action and not be a racist?
Absolutely.
And do you think James O'Keefe, by doing that bake sale, is voicing his opposition to a person of another color or another race, or is he voicing his opposition to affirmative action?
One would think he's – I don't know enough about it, but one would think he's voicing his opinion against affirmative action.
Because you can't throw it out there as an example of his racism if you agree that
Didn't say an example of his racism, Larry. I said he's got a racial obsession. If you look one thing after another, and you won't let me answer. Take a note. You can answer to each one of these things. My point was, and what I said in the piece about Blumenthal's piece, was that he pulled together all of these points from O'Keefe's career.
Headline of your post is the disturbing racism of James O'Keefe.
Right.
Don't say that you say he is racially obsessed. You have called the man a racist. The disturbing racism of James O'Keefe headline.
That's right.
Okay. Well, you've just pointed out this bake sale as an example of his racial obsession. And yet you concede that his purpose was to defy and to argue against affirmative action.
I didn't concede anything. I said, I don't know. I presume that's what he was doing. My point
and
is,
why would you use this approach?
Look, you're just not going to let me make this case without interrupting me, are you?
No, I'm not. Because I am sick of people saying we're racist because of our political position.
I am not saying you're racist because of your political beliefs. I'm saying that the man clearly has a racial obsession. He dressed up as a 70s pimp and then lied about it, by the way. He did this bake sale. He did these abortion clinics. He had this Lucky Charms thing. He has an obsession with race issues. I believe that's notable.
Do you think that Jesse Jackson has an obsession with race issues?
Of course he does.
Is he a racist?
Not that I can tell.
And yet you think James O'Keefe is racist.
I didn't say he was a racist.
Your headline says the disturbing racism of James O'Keefe.
Read the article, Larry.
Your headline says – how can you say that James O'Keefe has disturbing racism and yet he's not a racist? I need you to explain that to me.
Should I have said racialism? Would that be more clear, a headline?
No, I'm not trying to rewrite your headline. I want you to tell me how James O'Keefe has disturbing racism, and yet he is not a racist. Just explain it.
As you read the article, it talks about his racial and racist obsessions. Do you not understand the difference between being obsessed with these things and actually being a white supremacist, as you have accused Max Blumenthal of calling him?
And yet
really?
Your headline, Larry?
Your
headline did not say the disturbing racial obsession of James O'Keefe. I mean, racism is a very clear word, right? You use words. That's what you use in your blog, on your show. I mean, your words.
And I welcome you to leave a comment. I welcome you if you wish to leave a guest blog at Brad Blog.
No. I'm
beating me up
that.
On it. I'm not interested in. Otherwise, it wouldn't be on the show. I'm not interested in segregating, if you will, no pun intended. My opinion from other people's opinion. I'm not interested in hiding one set of facts from another. But that's clearly what's going on at places like those that you work at, big government, big journalism, who wants to talk about this voter fraud going on, which it's not amongst Acorn people. But you don't want to talk about Ann Coulter's voter fraud. You're concerned about prostitution that never happened at Acorn and government waste, and yet billions of dollars are being spent, are being given to Blackwater, who actually has been accused twice now of running child prostitution on government taxpayer money by actual employees and fingering Eric Prince, the CEO of the company, as knowing about this going on in the green zone in Baghdad and not doing anything about it and receiving more money in a day from the federal government than Acorn has received in their lifetime. And yet there is not a single report over there on biggovernment.com, Andy Breitbart's site, about this. And this case just broke, the second case just broke in court. So, I think you should hold everyone accountable. You should hold me accountable, hold my feet to the fire. I don't have a problem with that. But, it's intellectually dishonest to give one side one piece of information that supports a political agenda you're hoping to make while obscuring all of this other information. It's just dishonest.
All right. We are talking to Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. This is the Stage Right Show. We're going to take a quick break, Brad, and then we'll be right back. I just wanted to let you get all of that out. And the next thing I want to talk about now, this is going to be tricky for me because I'm not in a position to speak for or defend Andrew Breitbart, but I do want to ask you a couple of questions about some accusations you've made about Andrew.
Absolutely.
So we will be right back and talk about that. We're going to take a quick break. You are listening to The Stage Right Show. I'm Larry O'Connor.
It's 4 o'clock. I am weak.
Yeah.
I'm Larry O'Connor. This is the Stage Right Show, and we are joined by Brad Friedman from Brad Blog. You can find that at bradblog.com. And we've been talking about, well, the first half hour, we really spoke about the James O'Keefe racist story, excuse me, racial obsessions story that Brad and Max Blumenthal have written about for the last couple of weeks. And
No. You said Max Blumenthal called him a white supremacist.
Right. You know what? And it's funny. I mean, I guess that's the trouble, I guess, with 140 characters. But here's the thing. He called me. He said that I defend white supremacists, and that and then he put a link to I guess some white supremacist website with my name right next to the link, and said that they were the only people who were echoing my my attack on Max.
You should hold him accountable for it, and, you know, Paterico, your next guest, suggested as much as I'm a supporter of child prostitution on the top of his website when he got a story tremendously wrong.
We'll have Paterico on. Now let's save it for him.
Good. We're going to be on together? He's going to be on with
us? Yes. Oh, absolutely.
All right.
So I guess I do take it seriously, because honestly, I have to tell you, I hate racists. I hate racists. I always have my entire life.
Good.
And because the term racist is thrown around so nonchalantly now, I do believe that it is used as a weapon against people who have conservative beliefs and who oppose the president. And because of that, I think that if you use the term racist in such a cavalier way, when I say you, I don't mean you personally, Brad, but you know, feel free to chime in. If you use that word so cavalierly, I think that it weakens the power of the word, because if so many people are racists, mm-hmm. then the real racists really get off the hook. You understand?
I concur.
Okay.
And I'm conservative and don't support the president. So, you know.
All right. You are?
Yeah.
Okay. Good to know. Oh, look, we have a caller. I hope you don't mind taking a call.
I don't, although I need to correct something that I saw fly by my eyes in the chat room, if I could respond real quick.
Sure.
There was some response about the employees at Acorn who had been convicted of voter registration fraud. Some things I need to clear up real quick. Never of voter fraud, for a start. Secondly, those folks who were convicted of voter registration fraud, those employees who worked at Acorn, were in fact turned in by Acorn. And this is what drives me absolutely crazy about this, is that Acorn actually checks every voter registration form that it gets. If it can't confirm that it is legitimate by calling the voter and making sure they're legitimate and so forth, they actually flag the uh-huh. registrations as fraudulent, hand them in, flag that way to officials,
right.
Because they have to by law. And this is something that is never reported, that when you hear these guys coming out and saying, oh, we've just got all these fraudulent registrations from Acorn, they
right.
know about it, because Acorn themselves are the ones who notified officials about it, as they must do by law. There has
given the fact that Acorn blew the whistle on themselves and called out these improprieties with registration, you believe that Acorn acted nobly and in this case.
Well, they didn't blow the whistle on themselves. This would be the equivalent of someone.
They turned themselves in. Right.
No, they didn't turn themselves in. This would be the equivalent of somebody working at Walmart. Mind you, there's something like 13,000 people who work for Acorn doing voter registration. So this would be the equivalent of somebody at Walmart, a handful of employees stealing things off the shelf. And then saying, and Walmart turns them in to police, and then saying that that's evidence that Walmart is a criminal organization.
That's
it
fine.
Was,
so,
in fact, Acorn who was being defrauded by these workers.
So, Brad, given that, and given your position in defending Acorn in this case, were you just as outraged that the media and the left attacked the Army and our armed forces with the Abu Ghraib story, considering the fact the Army was the one who released that information? The Army were the ones who actually investigated, discovered, and prosecuted Abu Ghraib, and yet it was used to indict our military, our armed forces, and our troops on the ground. Don't you think
that they
deserve...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
No, in truth, I don't recall the military being attacked by anyone. I recall people trying to say, well, who was in charge of these things? Who called for these techniques? And now, as we know, you know, they essentially go all the way to the top. But instead, they said, oh, it was a few bad apples who committed these things, when in fact, there's a very clear paper trail showing that these, you know, go all the way back to Gitmo and all the way up to Don Rumsfeld's office and DeKalb's
office. All right, you've deflected the question. The point is they turned the
not a deflection, Larry.
All right. Calling in now is Andrew from West L.A. Andrew, you're on the Stage Right Show with Brad Friedman.
Hey, God, I have been following the Brad blog for years.
Hey, I'm Andy.
I think he's fantastic, always have. I love his Irene Proctor, who sent out a great press release yesterday calling me dummy Andrew Breitbart.
Andy,
I love being lectured.
Why should we give the benefit of the doubt?
Brad,
don't interrupt him.
Okay.
I get to talk. I love being lectured by a person whose argument on why the Acorn stories aren't valid is because we're being intellectually dishonest by not covering the Blackwater story. That's your answer? That's your answer in 2010 when the New York Times, the Los Angeles Times, CNN, Time Magazine, Newsweek, the Brad blog, every left-wing blog, the Huffington Post, which I fucking created, you idiot. I go, I've created more left-wing content than you'll create in your entire lifetime.
Why did you lie about James O'Keefe?
You didn't just answer what I said. I didn't lie about James O'Keefe. When did I lie about James O'Keefe?
Are you sure you didn't lie about James O'Keefe?
When
Andrew?
Did I lie about James O'Keefe?
Did you ever say?
You didn't answer my question. Let's get to that. You answer my question, and I'll answer your question.
You lied in your own column, Andrew. You lied in your own.
Read it to me, Andy.
You lied in your own column.
Read it to me.
Do you want me to go find it?
Give me my quote. Give me my quote.
You want me to go find it? All right. If you're going to call him a liar, you were prepared for this.
You were prepared for this, buddy. You didn't answer my question. When I come in here with your sophistry, changing the subject, calling a person a racist, and when called on it, your headline called him a racist, called on it, you talk about intellectual honesty. You're the biggest sophist idiot of all time. Nobody takes you seriously, and you keep accusing me of being a liar by saying that the New York Times reported something. Since when does Andrew Breitbart have control over the editorial functions of the New York Times? You use confusion and misdirection in order to draw attention away from guilty parties. You are an aider and abettor in bad behavior. What happened on those
okay.
pages?
In your Washington Times column, did you or did you not say that James O'Keefe dressed as a pimp?
Read me what I wrote, Mr.
Let's
Smart
see.
Read what I wrote.
Dressed as a pimp. Let me get to
Wait,
it.
Read what I wrote.
When filmmaker and provocateur. I'm reading it to
all
you.
Right,
Andy, settle down. I'm reading it to you. When filmmaker and provocateur James O'Keefe came to my office to show me the video of him and his friend Hannah Giles going to the Baltimore offices of Acorn, the nation's foremost community organizer, dressed as a pimp and a prostitute and asking for and getting help for various illegal activities, he sought my advice. Now, was James O'Keefe dressed as a pimp in the office of the Baltimore Acorn office?
The video that I saw that he came to my office showed that that's what happened.
Right.
That's what
you
it
just
showed.
Read, Brad, you just read that Andrew wrote, the video shows him dressed as a pimp going to the office. Well, that's the video I saw, too. He was dressed as a pimp going to the office.
He was dressed as a pimp and asking for and getting help.
No. Read it again. Read it again.
Dressed as
that's
a pimp.
No.
That's what I saw. I reacted to what I saw.
Andy, Larry's trying to help you here, pal.
Yes.
Give him a listen.
He doesn't need my help, but go
He's
back.
He's trying to help you. He's saying that because you said going to the Baltimore offices of Acorn.
That's what I saw on the video, too.
Okay, right.
First of all, if a person is a pimp, they're a pimp. I didn't say that he's dressed in lavish stuff.
You said he was dressed. You said he was dressed as a pimp.
A pimp is a pimp.
He was dressed as a pimp. He was wearing a white shirt and slacks.
Listen, Andy, you lied, pal. Do you want to know the truth? Do you want to know the truth? This is the absolute truth. I have nothing to hide here. When James came to my office first time, he showed me the videos that you see on YouTube, okay? What I provided after the fact were the full transcripts and the full audios so people could get the full context of what happened.
You provided the full transcripts and the full audio?
Of course.
Taken from what? Because you haven't released the videotapes, Andy.
Well, what, you've read the transcripts, haven't you? Is this where I am?
Is this my airport?
You haven't released the videotapes, Andy.
Why don't you release the videotapes? No, I will. I happily will.
Why is James O'Keefe there?
If you're there and Eric Bullard is there or George Soros or John Podesta are there, because the mainstream media won't look at these things, I've said it countless times, that I will air the full video any place, any time, full viewing for anyone to see, and we will have a Q&A for everybody afterwards.
You'll release them? Absolutely.
I've said it a million times.
Why haven't you released them up till now?
Well, answer me this. NBC.
Yeah.
NBC did an undercover video with Acorn where they went into a Jackson Hewitt office, okay? And all they did was show the edited version of the, of what they wanted to show in order to show it.
Do you feel they misrepresented what they showed?
That's why when they came to me, I said the mainstream media and left-wing lunatics like Brad Blog and Media Matters are going to go out there and hold people to a
to
a standard that is higher than what you hold NBC or CBS.
I'm the one calling. Hold on, I'm going to answer you. You're getting the source here. You're getting the source here, okay? I'm about to go to I'm walking into an airport right now, trying to get on an airplane.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He is an independent film producer. He came to me, and all I did was say I would help launch his story. It's his story. It's his videos. I said in order for me to put his videos out there, which are on YouTube, if you have a problem with James O'Keefe, you have a problem with James O'Keefe, you have a problem with YouTube. The videos were for everywhere. They were on the Huffington Post. They were on every possible site. What I asked for him to do was to accompany the videos that he put on every other – that every other site put on. I added him to add the full transcript and the full audio to put up there. That was me adding the extra journalism to it. And anybody that wants to see the full videos, which you can't put on in one fell swoop, I would happily – happily have a public airing of that, especially for maximum impact. Because
why don't you just air them? Why don't you just upload them and make them available for everybody?
All right, Andrew needs to get on.
I'll do whatever I want for media impact.
And are you going to correct your article where you reported that he was dressed as a pimp in the offices of the Baltimore Acorn?
No, I didn't say he was dressed as a pimp in the offices. I didn't say that.
Well, yes, you did. He was dressed as a pimp going to the office. No, you said he was dressed as a pimp and a prostitute and asking for and getting help for various illegal activities.
And he did.
Read the whole sentence.
He was dressed as a pimp and asking for and getting help for various illegal activities.
Oh, come on, Brett. All right, Andrew, travel well.
No, I want to continue this. He didn't answer any of my stuff that I said. He changed the subject here.
That's true. I don't understand what you...
Well, I'm asking if you're going to issue a correction. I'm happy to answer any question you like, Andy.
Good. Yeah. It's his turn.
Sure.
Andrew, go ahead.
I'll tell you what. You answer one question of mine, I'll answer one question of yours.
I've answered it for you. I've answered it for you.
Are you going to issue a correction?
There's nothing to what you're talking about.
I don't see what I've said that's incorrect.
That he was dressed as a pimp and asking for and getting help from Acorn.
Go back to where. Let's go back to your question, Andrew.
Wow.
Will you send it to Larry? Because I don't know what you're reading here. I need to know if it's my column, and I need to hear exactly what's
being
said.
It's your Washington Times column. He wrote it. It was published on September 21, 2009.
Brad, this is too rich. The sentence says that he was dressed as a going to the offices dressed as a pimp. Now that's very clear, and you're not saying
keep reading it.
Wait, hold on, Brad.
Keep reading it.
And hold on a second. Yet, okay, your headline says that James O'Keefe has racism, and you tell me that that doesn't mean that he's a racist? You're such a wordsmith.
Okay, wait. But the thing is,
we've discussed that, and I told you that I'm happy to let you respond to it if you want.
I'm answering you right now. What I had seen at that point were his videos that showed exactly that, of him walking to there and dressed in that full pimp outfit. What I asked of him, once he said he was going to put his stylized, edited videos up on a website, I said, in order for me to put this up on a website, I want the full transcripts and the full audio so everybody knows every single word that was said in there, so that there's no ums or ahs or any type of misrepresentation, so that when you're in there acting like a pimp, trying to get help from these people to perform quote-unquote tricks in order to try and get underage prostitutes, mm-hmm, et cetera, I said, I don't want anyone to be able to think that you manipulated these people to say
then
something.
Then why don't you release the tape? Why don't you release the raw video tape?
I said that I would. There are conditions
so
to that.
So now, Brad, it's your turn to answer.
I'm going to tell you why. Mm-hmm. There are conditions to that.
Uh-huh.
Because liars like you,
uh-huh,
and Media Matters,
yeah,
and the mainstream media, which ignored the story, is that this is a card that I am playing, just like I played the videos one at a time, because I knew that people would ignore this. And because Media Matters has lied, and because George Soros has funded lying, and John Podesta has orchestrated John Podesta hired Scott Harshbarger to sue me and to interrogate me at the exact same time.
Okay.
These people have been in the process of trying to sue us while claiming to be doing an independent investigation.
Well, my understanding is that they're suing you because he illegally taped these people in two different states.
I had nothing to do with that, buddy.
Well, you'll have to argue it in court, buddy. That's not my point. The point
is
you lied about these tapes.
My point is that there is no accountability for liars like you and Media Matters.
Of course there is.
Of course there isn't. And so I've said, for all of these lies and misdirection and crap that you've thrown up on the wall that's completely false and bogus and misrepresents the truth, I'm willing to have a public airing where you will have public egg on your face if you decide to be up there, because I will, on my family's life.
Post them on the website the way you posted the other things, Andrew. Why is that so difficult for you?
What are you trying to hide? Because
I've already
done the audio and the transcripts. You know that that's enough.
Andrew, you're a Hollywood guy. You know how easy it is to edit an audio tape and to edit a transcript. Release the raw video so everyone can see them. Why don't you?
What do you think? I've already stated my reasons why I'm not doing it. And we're going to have to end it on that note, because I'm going to do it for maximum impact. I've already done more than what CBS or NBC does, or ABC when they do undercover tape. I ask them to go out of their way to do the full transcripts.
I will join you in demanding that they do, Andrew. I'm all in favor of transparency. I'm the guy who's calling for a correction from the New York.
You're the one that has lied the entire step of the way.
Well, you haven't showed a single lie, whereas I've showed one after another. One day you said O'Keefe receives a fair salary.
James O'Keefe is a racist.
You say he receives a fair salary. The next day you say he doesn't receive a salary.
That's not what he said.
Whoa.
That is exactly what he said. I've got the transcript for it. What are you talking about? He said he receives a fair salary, and last week on Blog Talk Radio, you said he doesn't receive a salary.
It's a life contract. You're trying to act like there's some type of a conspiracy there. I clarified the
situation. I'm not acting like there's anything.
He's getting paid.
It doesn't matter.
Let him finish.
It's not a salary. It's technically not a salary. That's the point. I am clarifying it. It's technically not a salary. I was asked a question the day that he was arrested and not given an attorney. Like, you would care about that. He was kept in jail while it was leaked that he was bugging and he wasn't bugging.
And so you misspoke.
I went out there. I went there to be as transparent as humanly possible to make sure
on Hugh Hewitt's show.
And so I have
on Hugh Hewitt's show, who has also lied about Acorn committing voter fraud.
Yes, Brad. Everybody.
Brad.
Well, he has. What can I tell you?
Wait,
trying to help you, Andrew.
Stop him. Stop him. He's not in control of this interview anymore. I've answered everything. Okay? Here's what you're going to get from me.
Okay.
Now that I've answered all of your questions,
you have.
Please will you do me a favor and answer me these questions?
You haven't answered all of my questions at all, but I will answer a question.
Sure. No, you're going to answer now, okay? Because I answered you. What does it matter? Why are you finding excuses for all those employees? Where over a dozen employees were helpful in aiding and abetting a prostitution thing, that you're caught up in this Mr. Blackwell-esque shenanigan as if it's some type of a bust. I don't understand.
I will answer that question. Would you like me to?
Yes.
First of all, the videotapes are dishonestly labeled as an Acorn child prostitution investigation. And it has been repeated over and over again, even on the show you were on last week, that you helped bust the Acorn prostitution probe, as if there was prostitution going on at Acorn.
I don't defend. The probe into aiding and abetting prostitution.
I don't defend anybody.
These people were trying to help them create a 501c3 and to get 14-year-old El Salvadorans.
If they broke the law, they should be busted.
If they broke the law, they should be busted. I'm not saying that somebody should be prosecuted or not. I'm just telling you what's on the tapes, and you're trying to explain away the stuff as if there shouldn't be an investigation.
I've said no such thing. Andy, stop putting words into my mouth, pal.
It was prostitution. It was prostitution. They said we're doing tricks. We're bringing 14-year-old girls over the border, and they helped them in every single one except for one in Los Angeles. You're sick. You're a sick person.
Right.
You think that somehow how they're dressed in the office is a mitigating factor.
I'm not saying anything is a mitigating factor.
I'm saying it was dishonest, and you asked me to answer.
Andy, you don't want to let me answer a question. You don't want to let me answer.
The first time I saw a video, you don't want to let me answer your question.
You asked a question, you won't let me answer it.
You did answer it. I got to mute you if you don't let him finish. Go ahead, Andrew.
He obviously understands that his cherished Great Society, Acorn, a group that supposedly helps the poor, aids and abets prostitution rings when people walk through the door and ask for them to help them to aid prostitution rings. It's about the sickest thing in the world a person could possibly see. If you know a single person in your life that wouldn't bat an eye as these people just helped without thinking, oh, we'll create a 501c3 and call them dependents and don't call it prostitution. We'll call it dancing or entertainment.
Performing arts.
And you're performing arts. And you're talking about what James O'Keefe was wearing in there. You're a sick motherfucker.
Waste. I will join you in fighting against these things. I will join you in fighting against prostitution that's aided and abetted by tax dollars in our government. I will join you in fighting against a corrupt, failing media. But tell the truth about it. Don't be dishonest. You had a dishonest representation.
I have not been dishonest.
He has not. Brad, have you read the full transcripts of these videos?
I have read what he posted on his site.
And when you read those, do you not believe that the Acorn employees were acting complicitly with a prostitute and her pimp and the a plan to bring in underage girls?
Well, actually, he said he was a college student or that he was a banker. Let me answer your question, Larry. I will answer it the way I want to answer it because you asked me to. He represented himself as an up-and-coming politician or a college student or a banker. What those people said, let me answer the question. What those people said on those tapes we're not even sure what they were answering to, because the former Attorney General of Massachusetts said that we don't know what the questions were, because the tapes, the videotapes themselves, were heavily overdubbed.
The transcript.
The transcript can say whatever you want the transcript to say.
The transcript is full. All right.
Guys.
The audio is full and unedited.
I can release unedited audio to you that is so heavily edited you won't even know it. Release the videotapes publicly. So everyone can see them. That's all. And they will also see, that James O'Keefe was never dressed as a pimp, despite sitting on Fox News, as Steve Doocy said. Here's James O'Keefe dressed in the exact same outfit he wore in Acorn offices up and down the Eastern Seaboard. And nobody said a damn thing about it. You guys sold this on the marquee claim that James O'Keefe dressed as a pimp, and these Acorn people are so fucking stupid, they couldn't even tell that the skinny little white Rutgers college student
said they were stupid.
Wasn't
no
a
one
pimp.
Ever said they were stupid.
This is the way the story was sold.
No, you're wrong.
This is the way the story was sold. And I dare you to find anybody who thinks, who hasn't heard this discussion or read what I reported at Bradblog, who believes that James O'Keefe was not dressed as a pimp in those offices the way Andrew Breitbart reported that he was.
I did not report that. You're trying to put words in my mouth.
No, the words were already in your mouth, my friend. I just read to you what you wrote.
No, you weren't. No, I
dressed
didn't.
As a pimp and
right.
a prostitute
Dan
and
Pruitt.
Asking for
Dan
and
Pruitt.
Getting. Are you saying that he was getting this advice while he was going to the Baltimore offices, Andy?
No, he said that he was dressed as a pimp while going to the offices. That's what we all saw.
Read the sentence. He dressed as a pimp and a prostitute and asked for and got help for various illegal activities. Right. You guys are playing with words instead of just saying, you're right.
Yeah, right.
You're right. I misreported that. I will issue a correction. Why don't you do the right thing? Why don't you do the same thing that you would demand from anybody else?
First of all, it's not a misreport. But secondly, I'm more interested why you were not concerned about what the employees at Acorn did, regardless of what he was wearing.
Of course I'm concerned. Of course I'm concerned. Because right now, as of right now, of course I'm concerned. As of right now, the Congressional Research Service and the former Attorney General of Massachusetts have both said that nobody seems to have broken any laws in that office other than James O'Keefe.
Then why were the employees fired?
Okay.
What does it say about the investigation then based upon what the unedited audio tapes, show?
Release the unedited videotapes, and if there were crimes committed, then I will back you 100% that they should be prosecuted.
You already know that the audio is in its full, and that everything
I absolutely do not know that. I absolutely do not know that, and if you release the audio, why haven't you released the video? Answer that question.
Because if you care so much about truth, you want to bust me, and you want to bust me in a public way. I want you to bust me in a public way too. I want to have this in a public way. If you think that you've got the goods to bust me, you bring Eric Bullard or John Podesta or George Soros, and I will sit there and I will watch every minute of the full unedited videos.
Release them publicly, Andrew. That's what you call on NBC, CBS to do. Release them.
I'll get us to Kodak Theater, Andrew.
Just release them.
We'll get it televised.
I will do that.
Good. Go for it. You've got a new poster right
tomorrow now. And if there were laws broken, then they, you know, the people should be held accountable. I'm all in favor of it. But tell your employee.
If you're able to show that I misrepresent something, I will
correct your story.
Apologize on the stage.
Correct your story. Apologize.
Why don't you want this publicly aired where there's accountability on both sides?
I want accountability on every side. What are you talking about?
Then you help broker a deal where we have a public hearing of all of the audio. We will release the entire audio,
video. We're talking about hours and hours 100%. Of video. Okay.
I'll sit there. I have all day long. I'll do it.
You've got gazillions of dollars rolling in from Matt Drudge. Put all the money into it. You want to set up any event you want.
Will you retract that? Will you retract that? That's a falsehood.
Retract what?
You don't know what
he just said about Matt Drudge.
You keep doing this, Brad. You just lied.
What have you done?
I've got millions of dollars rolling in from Matt Drudge.
I said you've got gazillions of dollars you linked to yourself from the Drudge Report over to Breitbart.com.
What are you talking about?
It's perfectly legal. I'm saying you have money.
No, you lied.
What's your source for that?
The Drudge Report does not link over to Breitbart.com. Oh, my God. You're a crazy man, dude.
You're
crazy.
You changed the subject. You changed
the subject.
Throwing
a distraction. Let's go back to what we were saying. This is about, how do you know what kind of money Andrew Breitbart is making?
And where it comes from.
Because you link from Matt Drudge links over to Breitbart.com. You make, I know
what
the clicks are worth.
What do you make out of it?
Matt Drudge does not link over to Brad Blog. I would be delighted if he did, but he don't.
You link to Breitbart.com. What do you make out of it?
Oh, thank you.
No, you apparently misunderstood that, Larry.
Well, no, like, how is Breitbart making money out of a link?
Are you seriously asking that question?
Absolutely. I want you to tell all of our audience what you know about Andrew Breitbart's finances.
Because when DrudgeReport.com, one of the largest sites on the Internet, links to Breitbart.com in link after link after link, his traffic goes through the roof. He has network ads that he gets paid for, lots of money. I don't begrudge him that. That's absolutely fine, but that's how the Internet works. Are you seriously don't understand that, Larry?
Why did you say that I was getting the money from Matt Drudge? Why did you say I was
getting
the money from
Matt Drudge? I said you get gazillions of dollars from the links from Matt Drudge's website. What are you talking about? You do. Are you denying that, too?
I don't get gazillions of dollars.
Okay. I guess it depends on what the definition of gazillion is.
Brad,
and the definition of salary is.
Actually, what you said was that he was getting gazillions of dollars from Matt Drudge's website.
That's correct.
That's what you said. Yeah, you didn't say from links. You backtracked.
Oh, please. Are you guys really this intellectually dishonest?
You're the one. You're the one that called James O'Keefe a friggin' racist.
You're the one who said you paid him a fair salary one day, and then he doesn't get a salary the next day.
Look,
you're the one who said that he was dressed like a pimp, and now you say he wasn't dressed like a pimp. That's ridiculous.
Anthony, Brad, when I tell you that at first I said it's technically not a salary, the very idea that I misspoke on what it technically is,
which is fine. That's you misspoke. You misspoke. Right? You misspoke. And you miswrote. When you said that he was dressed as a pimp, correct? Or did James O'Keefe lie to you?
I saw him with my own eyes dressed as a pimp walking into to the Acorn offices on the video that he showed me in his office. That is the basis of that paragraph.
Was he dressed as a pimp inside those offices?
I have never asserted that. No, I haven't.
Show me the quote where he says he was dressed as a pimp sitting in the office.
It's right there.
I was describing
he was dressed as a pimp and asking for and getting help for various illegal activities. What do you want? Just admit you got it wrong. You call for everybody else to retract. Why don't you correct?
It's so tedious going over the exact same point. All right, it's very
just correct.
So fine, Brad, we've heard you.
Okay.
We've got agreement here. Andrew has agreed to release the full videos in a public setting with you and with Soros or Bullard.
I'll do my best to be there, but I'd prefer he release them the way he released the Acorn videos on the Internet for everyone to see.
I think it's pretty cheeky of you to advise Andrew Breitbart's best way to release video.
I didn't. It was James O'Keefe who unleashed the video. I told him in order for me to carry his backstory, I wanted him to release the text. The text and the audio and all that stuff. He is the independent.
No, you actually said you told him that you wanted him to release the full video, but only to Fox News. But I'm saying release it on the Internet the way you release the videotapes. It's
he did not release the videotapes. James O'Keefe released the videotapes.
We've already explained.
No, he hasn't.
We've already explained why I want it. Why I'm willing to quite happily to show the full video.
On the internet, right?
No, simultaneous with a public hearing where those people who have offered up reams and reams of misinformation.
I don't care what you do public. You do whatever you want with anybody who you want.
No, release the video. Eric needs to be there.
Put the videos on the internet
either
the way
Eric,
you put the other video, the edited, heavily edited one.
Eric or Soros or Podesta. Or I'll even let Harshbarger.
I don't know these. Talk to these people all you want. I don't even know. I don't know them. I mean, what? Why? I don't even know those people. What are you talking about? Put them on the internet. What does it? What needs to be brokered? What are you hiding, Andy?
All right.
What are you hiding?
All right. Now, Brad, please.
I'm hiding that they weren't prostitutes. That he was a chef.
Why don't you just release it on the internet, Andy?
And he never once mentioned that he wanted to start underage prostitution rings. And you're
and
right.
Now it's my turn to ask a question. Why is James O'Keefe innocent until proven guilty, as you've said over and over again, but the folks who work for Acorn are not innocent until proven guilty?
Because I've said let them show the tapes of what happened in Louisiana. Everybody proclaimed his guilt. I'm saying the video and the audio and the transcripts of Acorn will show, if there is a proper investigation, the obvious guilt of Acorn.
And you have proclaimed the guilt of these Acorn people, but they haven't been proven guilty in a court of law the way you're asking for James O'Keefe.
We've seen the audio, and in all of the Acorn internal investigation, they've come up with no exculpatory evidence or explanation.
The Congressional Research
Let
Service
him answer the question, Brad. Let him answer the question.
Fired them in the first two offices. They should reinstate them then because they're good citizens and should get the good housekeeping seal of approval.
Why were the employees fired, Brad? Why did Acorn fire them?
Apparently, they believe they did wrong. Why don't you let me answer the question?
Then why did they believe they did wrong? Investigation?
And that's fine.
What wrong? No, you don't care about their wrong. You care about being complicit.
No, the fact that you guys lied about your story to set up this huge marquee story to help launch your website.
I never lied about it. Never.
Good.
All right.
Well, people will have to read what you wrote and decide what you were saying. And James O'Keefe apparently lied about it as well, because he sat there in that pimp outfit, as Steve Ducey said. This is the outfit he was wearing up and down the Eastern Seaboard in the offices of Acorn.
Yeah, I didn't say that.
Uh-huh. And if NBC, CBS misrepresented their story like that, would you be cool with that, Andy? You'd be holding them accountable, asking for a correction, and rightly so.
I don't understand what the impact of your bust is.
No impact of him in his pimp costume parading around in the media selling this as a Acorn child prostitution investigation.
Yes, there was.
When he was telling the Acorn employees.
Let him answer your question. Well,
you keep saying let him. Why don't you ever tell him to let me answer my question?
If you ever pay attention to the actual context of everything, there are two pimps. There's one pimp and then there's another pimp in the actual storyline.
Okay. And what was he trying to – and that's right. And that other pimp was the abusive one that he, James O'Keefe, who said
right.
he was her
and
boyfriend, was trying to
and
rescue.
Right. And that's right. And that's on the tapes. Well,
he was trying to rescue her from an abusive pimp, correct?
Right. Okay, she was still going to continue her job as a prostitute. Brad,
you're a genius. Where did you get that information? Oh, that's right, the transcripts and the audio that we provided. Thank you very much. You're a genius.
And if you continue reading the transcripts, it says that she's going to continue acting as a prostitute.
You can have whatever you want.
Just
release the videotape.
I'm going to mute you, Brad, because you don't want to hear the truth. The transcripts say that she's going to continue as a prostitute and all of the money will funnel back to James O'Keefe. Now, if that doesn't make him a pimp, regardless of his purchase, I don't know what makes him.
Dressed as a pimp, according to Andy Breitbart, according to the New York Times. He was dressed as a pimp.
That's fine, but Brad, what is the impact of what he was dressed as? No one has ever suggested that these people were stupid. We don't think the people at Acorn were stupid. We think they were brilliant.
Why was he parading around?
Let me finish. We think they are very smart. That's the problem here. They know the tax laws. They know the lending laws. And they use it, and they use it to exploit people. That's what this story is about. Not about stupidity at Acorn. It's about corruption and nefarious activity at Acorn.
Who does this?
This is what you saw on the tapes.
Who does this? Who does this exploitation to fool people? Who does this?
I'm answering you right now.
Okay.
They, on videotape, the Acorn employees advise them how to hide money from the IRS, advise them how to lie about what their job is to the IRS.
Well, actually, they advise them how to pay their taxes.
I'm still talking, Brad. They advise them how to claim these illegal aliens as dependents. They advise them that they don't have to report the money that these girls make because they're illegal aliens. They advise them all of these things. That's what happened on the tapes, and it doesn't matter what the man was dressed like.
I understand. Well, it does matter what the man was dressed like. Because it was,
whether he was wearing a fur coat or not.
Because it was dishonest. Andy and James O'Keefe lied about this entire story in order to sell it. If some low-level employees did something wrong, they should be held accountable for it. I have no problem with that. Be open, be transparent, release the videotapes so that prosecutors can see exactly what these people did to break the law. Because so far, you don't let me respond, do you? You're not going to let me respond.
The
Congressional Research Service and the former Attorney General found so far that nothing was done wrong. Release the full tapes, and maybe they'll find that they broke the law. Okay?
Go ahead.
The full audio. There was no investigation. The people who were suing us.
You can edit audio to say anything you want.
It's not edited. It is what it is. It is what it is, and if you think that you're going to bust me when James O'Keefe is the independent filmmaker, he has that video in his possession. It's not mine to give away, but I can act on his behalf and tell you, if you're willing to have a public airing with accountable people who have been at the forefront of offering this information, to benefit.
So you won't put it on the internet.
I will.
Put it on the internet. Well, you can stage whatever public circus that you want.
Andy? No.
Just
there
release the video.
Lying about this.
I got to go through security. Hold on.
All right. Brad, the point is there have been people lying about this from the beginning, and he wants to release those videos with those people in the room
so
they can be held accountable.
Do it.
I hope you can help. You know Eric Buller.
I'm sorry. I don't know George Soros or Podesta. I don't know these people.
Brad, you know what? Eric Buller retweets your stuff all the time. I bet you if you send him a message, he'll respond.
I've spoken with Eric Bollard. I know Eric Bollard. What's your point?
While he's going through security, tell Eric. Eric is fine. We don't need Soros and Podesta. Bring Eric Bollard to the table. That would be fantastic.
Andrew Breitbart has Fox News, has Drudge Report, can run any circus that he wants.
No, I'm
a blogger who begs for $5 donations. He can stage whatever he wants. Release the videotapes so we can hold everybody who needs to be held accountable.
The liars
don't hide it.
Matter for America need to be in the room to face the music when things are bad. Why is that a problem? These are fantastic.
You can say, do it. Sounds great. I don't know those people.
I'm glad you're in favor.
I'll tell you what. If Andrew Breitbart wants to give me $50,000 to stage an event, I'll be happy to put on to rent a hall to do whatever he wants. How's that?
We're going to take a quick break while Andrew goes through security. We'll bring Rico in.
Beyond the vicinity of our lives. traveling on the wide. Yeah, heaven is ours tonight. We have reached the light tonight. The people believe in us, and there's power behind their trust. Our faith will lead us home. A victory of our own, yeah. 'Cause heaven is ours tonight. The gates have been opened wide. Yeah, heaven is ours tonight. We have reached the light tonight. Feeling begins to grow to people that we don't know, and the power is in our hands to spread love through the land. Yeah, 'cause heaven is ours tonight. The gates have been opened wide. Yeah, heaven.
And we're back. I am Larry O'Connor, and this is the Stage Right Show, Blog Talk Radio's number one daily news show. And if you've been listening, you can get an idea why we're number one. This has been compelling. And joining us now, this could get crazy. There's so many voices overlapping. I'm begging you guys to let each other finish. I'm going to bring in Patrick Fry, also known, better known on the web as Patterico. He has also been in the mix with Brad over the last couple of days. Patrick, welcome to the Stage Right Show.
Hi, how are you doing? Thanks for having me.
Good. I'm going to need you to talk up and run into the phone, please.
Okay.
And then, of course, we've been hearing Brad Friedman from Brad Blog. Brad, you still with us?
I am. You've got three people who disagree with me.
Oh, I know, but I'm gonna try to just moderate. I'm not gonna engage anymore.
Then stop saying Brad. Let Andrew answer his questions because I think the tapes will show that he was filibustering their mic.
Brad, if I may, you said it's my turn to ask a question with great fanfare. You asked the question, and then 10 seconds into it, you interrupted the answer. So come on. All right, and now joining us post TSA security and X-ray machines is Andrew Breitbart on the air. You're on your way to CPAC, are you, Andrew?
Indeed.
Excellent. This is a good warm-up, I think. All right. So now that we've got
Let me just say one thing, because I haven't thought so much about – I'm not a director, and the staging type of thing. And I'm trying to think at the videos – that I've seen in their entirety, and because you're so caught up in what the pimp is wearing, it wasn't until the first time this was brought to my attention that there was some type of like big deal that some left-wing bloggers felt that they found their thing that exculpates Acorn from its thing was at the Philadelphia Acorn press conference that we had 3 months ago, where we showed that the Acorn employee was lying when she said that she kicked them out in 5 minutes. And some Huffington Post blogger brought that up. The interesting thing about the way that these things are filmed is that you sometimes see Hannah and you sometimes see other people in the office and especially the Acorn employees, but you don't see the pimp. So that's the thing about seeing the full video and why when it makes no sense when you're listening to and reading the transcripts of this and the person, the pimp, is laying out his scheme about setting up a prostitution ring. It doesn't dawn on me that, you know, what he's wearing and what he's not wearing. All I saw were the stylized, edited videos, and that's what I represented. And so the first time he ever posed to me in that situation, I haven't seen since then, because James, you know, holds them in his possession. And so from what I can recall and seeing the full videos, all you never see the pimp. I mean, that's my personal recollection. But I'm talking about the stylized videos that he cuts that have a song to them.
And let me be generous.
It is a stylized – the videos that Harshbarger calls edited, highly edited, are in fact obviously highly edited. That's why we overdubbed and all that type of stuff.
Right.
And that was what he used to put on YouTube, that was put on the Huffington Post on the same day that it was put on my site.
Yeah, I think you should clear those.
I offered up the complimentary full transcript so people could understand what was said and what the context was here.
Well, you didn't.
And so,
you've responded for 4 or 5 minutes. Let me respond. Let me see if I can get in 30 seconds, because that's generally what I seem to get.
It was 2 minutes, Brad.
Okay, well, then I'll take the 2 minutes.
Go, Brad.
You could do away with all of this. I'll be generous and say that you may have even thought that O'Keefe was dressed as a pimp in those offices, that it looks like it's completely possible he may have flummoxed you as well. If so, all you have to do is clarify that and the fact that he was not straightforward with you, that he lied to you. And to hold all the people accountable, Andy, I didn't interrupt you. Why are you interrupting me?
Hang on. Go ahead, Brad. Finish up. Because what I'd like to do is read this supposed smoking gun sentence. May I do that?
You can, in a second, you can, you know, do away with all of this. You can do away with the complaints that you had about the former Massachusetts Attorney General, who found that there was no evidence that action, illegal or otherwise, was taken by any Acorn employee on behalf of the videographers. That's right, the congressional. I didn't interrupt you, Andy. The Congressional Research Service found the same thing. You can do away with all of their complaints. You can show them how wrong they are by releasing the full videotapes, by holding James O'Keefe accountable for misrepresenting. For misrepresenting the story publicly.
No one's saying that he misrepresented
the story, in my estimation.
All right.
Are you really? Let
me read this sentence, Brad. And honestly, I mean, Andrew just the 2 minutes uninterrupted that he gave. He gave us new information, or at least a new take and an explanation of his understanding of what he was wearing. I'm sorry, but you continue to keep repeating the exact same thing over and over again.
Go ahead.
So here we go. Here is the smoking gun sentence where you are claiming that Andrew Breitbart lied. Those are the words that you said, that he is lying.
That is one time that he lied about this, in my opinion, yes.
When filmmaker and provocateur James O'Keefe came to my office to show me the video of him and his friend Hannah Giles going to the Baltimore offices of Acorn, the nation's foremost community organizers, dressed as a pimp and a prostitute, and asking for and getting help for various illegal activities, he sought my advice. Now, granted, it is a pretty complex sentence, but it specifically says that they were dressed as a pimp and a prostitute going to the Baltimore offices.
And doing what?
And when they were dressed in those outfits,
what were they doing? Now,
she's definitely
the New York Times picked up on that.
This is your big smoking gun.
There's no smoking gun. I'm saying that he misrepresented the story. The New York Times then reported that Mr. O'Keefe, a filmmaker and conservative activist.
Who are you to define? I didn't say he was dressed flamboyantly in a 70s outfit. I'm just conveying.
Wow, dude.
Brad, really, Andy?
I didn't say that.
Mr. O'Keefe. Don't put us in the position to defend what the New York Times has written. That's none of our business.
I'm the one calling on them to correct it. They said Mr. O'Keefe was dressed so
with Pratt. It has nothing to do with the
show. No, I can't
speak to the New York Times. I can't speak to the New York Times. Paterico can't speak.
This followed Andy Breitbart's representation of the videos that he was dressed as a pimp.
Hang on, let me respond.
This followed James O'Keefe going on Fox News with Steve Doocy introducing him, saying he's wearing the outfit he wore up and down the Eastern Seaboard in the offices of Acorn. And the New York Times said Mr. O'Keefe, a filmmaker, was dressed so outlandishly that he might have been playing in a risque high school play. Is that correct or incorrect, Andrew?
Ask the New York Times.
I'm asking Andrew. He saw the tapes.
The thing is, to be honest with you, I haven't, because you only see the you only see what the person's looking at. I don't know, but from what I can tell from the scenario is that there are multiple pimps in the scenario. There's the one pimp, and then there's the boyfriend.
You're not being honest, Andy. You wrote that he was dressed as a pimp and asking for various illegal activities and getting help.
He was. That's exactly right.
Yes.
Okay. What does it matter? Why does it matter?
Let's let Paterico in here. Louder, okay. Patrick, please.
Yeah. Why does it matter how O'Keefe was dressed? He clearly, you don't seem to understand this because I don't think you have actually listened to the audio or read the transcripts. But if you had, mm-hmm. you would know that he didn't just say he was a boyfriend. He said that he was her pimp, that he was setting up a house where he was going to have all these underage Salvadoran girls in to turn tricks. And she clearly was dressed as a prostitute.
I don't believe he ever said he was her pimp. He said he was her boyfriend.
He said he was setting up a business with her prostitution.
He was trying to get her out of the house from the abusive pimp. He said he was the boyfriend.
And they were funneling the money to him. Now, what do you call a person?
Look, if you guys did this kind of...
Brad, what do you call a person who sets up a prostitute and underage girls to have sex with them for money, and then all the money goes to that man? What do you call him?
In this case, you want to say that he was a pimp, whereas he told the people in Acorn that he was a politician, he was
a
college student.
You're the one who thinks Acorn is stupid.
I'm trying to get you to release the information so these people can be held accountable. That's all.
Brad, you don't care about that. Brad, look, come on. Let's get serious. You don't care about holding these people accountable. You're trying to have...
Why not?
When people... I don't know.
Why not?
You clearly don't.
I want to hold them all accountable, but Paterico... Patrick Fry, on your website and on Andy Breitbart's website.
Hold on. Brad, seriously, let's let Patrick, he's been on for 30 seconds. Let's let him say something.
Go ahead.
Yeah, you claim that you want to hold him accountable, but it's obvious that you don't, because you try to throw up any possible defense that you can. It's basically just a smokescreen. You try to focus us for hours here on how he was dressed, even though when Larry says, doesn't matter how they're dressed, you say, oh, I understand that. Okay.
I haven't defended anybody.
It's Alinsky. This is Alinsky.
You haven't read the transcript, so you haven't seen that he says, we want to set up a house for her to do her prostitution business. Okay?
Uh-huh.
Pimps say that they're the person's boyfriend, but when they also clearly say, I am setting up a house.
That's not the question. That was never the question.
That is somebody saying that they're going to be a pimp.
That's not the question. That's not the question. That was never the question.
They're going to turn tricks for us, and we're going to take the money. That's being a pimp.
That's not the question. That was never the question. The question was, if, like James O'Keefe, we're supposed to presume James O'Keefe is innocent until proven guilty, then these people are also innocent until proven guilty, and if you want to prove them guilty, release the videotapes that prove them guilty. Not your edited transcripts, not your edited audio tapes, but the videotapes that show everything.
Brad,
if you're concerned about... If you're concerned about...
Brad, you're deflecting
it. What's the question that I'm deflecting, Larry?
Because the question is, why are you so concerned with what he's wearing when you read the transcript?
I've answered that question.
No, all you're saying is release the videotapes, release the videotapes.
I've answered that question. I'm concerned about what he's wearing because that is what the story was sold on. It was sold on a lie. It was sold on a lie, and because you guys are unwilling to be transparent and to show what you really have, you're hiding something, apparently, because you won't release it.
Why are we hiding?
Why were you dishonest? And if NBC sold a story like this on a complete marquee claim that was complete and utter bullshit, you guys would hold their feet to the fire, and you would be right to do so. Do the right thing for once.
Brad, you're mischaracterizing how this was sold. This was sold, and the reason that this is important to people all across the country is because these people walked into Acorn offices one after the other, and not only said that they were engaging in a prostitution business, but also said that they were going to be bringing in underage girls from El Salvador, and that those girls were going to be turning tricks for them, and that is why that story was important to people.
Well, that's what you claim. That's what you claim. That's what you claim they were saying. Release the videotapes. That's what you claim they were saying. Release the videotapes, and then everybody will know that.
Okay, so what I'm saying is, Andrew, correct me if I'm wrong, you have said, have you not, that if Eric Holder wants to get the Justice Department involved investigating this, you will turn over the full tapes to the Justice Department. Are you wrong about that?
I've said that, and I said that I will show it even to pedestrians like.
But you guys won't put it on the internet the way you put the hit videos on the internet, the ones that said you were investigating child prostitution by Acorn.
You would not watch,
but you won't release
it. I would not watch the full videos on the internet, even if they were there. You haven't listened to the unedited audio of all this stuff, have you?
There is no unedited audio of this stuff, Patrick. You're a deputy DA.
That's another one of your lies.
You're a deputy DA.
Stop talking over him, Brad.
You're a deputy DA, Patrick.
Brad, stop talking over him.
Okay, now that you're bringing up my profession, I have to say that everything that I'm saying on this show is my own opinion. I'm not speaking on behalf of the office. But, Brad, you just made the claim that there is no unedited audio of this. That's just a lie. There is. Go listen to it. You haven't
If
done
someone
it.
Came to you as a deputy DA and said, this gets me off the hook because here's the unedited audio, no, I'm not going to share with you the unedited video, would you accept that, Patrick?
He has said that he will provide the unedited video to prosecutors.
Okay, I'm going round and round with you guys.
Yeah, we really are going around.
It's really getting tiring. The point is that, you know, when you say that James O'Keefe is innocent until proven guilty, apparently nobody else is. You say, as Andy did on the Hewitt show, Hugh said to him, lots of people work for lots of people work for lots of corporations and do dumb and sometimes illegal things that are not within the scope of their employment. And this was used, and Andy agreed and said, yes, absolutely, that's the case with O'Keefe. If that's the case with O'Keefe, why is not the case for anybody who worked for Acorn?
You know what? James O'Keefe is being investigated by prosecutors right now. I wish we could say the same thing for the Acorn employees.
Well,
a criminal investigation of Acorn for this?
I haven't seen the tapes. How could I call for it? If you put them on the web, maybe there's a perfectly good reason. Right now, everybody who's investigated, the Congressional Research Service,
the Justice
General
Department,
What did they research? What did they search? If they didn't have the full audio tapes, what did they research that they didn't call for us to ask for the full video? I
don't know. You hold their feet. Hold their feet to the fire.
It's a whitewash. Obviously, that's what we've done, and the American public are outraged.
Hold their feet to the fire, Andrew.
Brad, people like you and Eric.
I got your back. Hold their feet to the fire.
No, but Brad, you keep saying hold their feet to the fire, and yet you are not holding their feet to the fire at all. We would love for you to join us and call for a full criminal investigation, but instead all you're concerned about is whether James O'Keefe wore a fur coat or not.
Because there seems to be no evidence of any – you guys have called this, you know, government corruption. Meantime, I'm looking here at actual child prostitution rings in Baghdad in the green zone on billions of taxpayer money by Blackwater that Eric Prince, the CEO, knew about, and you guys don't give a damn. Go look up Blackwater on Big Government. Go look up Blackwater on Paterico site. There's nothing there. This just came out in the paper last week,
two people
who worked there. In August of 2009, two other employees said this was going on.
Brad,
you guys don't care. This is about a political.
I can't believe Brad Blog doesn't care about Haiti.
This is about a political agenda.
You ignore Haiti. That shows that you're racist.
What? What are you talking about, Andrew? You're pulling shit out of your ass, dude.
No, he's using humor to illustrate your moronic point.
You've got 50 people. That's very nice, Larry. I'm coming on your show.
Excuse me. I'm trying to make a point. You are implicating big government for what they don't report on as if that's indicative of some problem. Yet you're not reporting on Haiti, so is that indicative of a problem on Bradlaugh?
No, Puerto Rico has written that, and I can go to the article, but that essentially saying I'm supporting child prostitution. Puerto Rico, has hundreds of almost 100 articles on Acorn, and tells me that I don't care about child prostitution, whereas he has not one article on two former Blackwater employees claiming child prostitution that Eric Prince knew about. For billions of dollars, more money in a day than Acorn has received in their lifetime. Why are you talking over me?
Can I indulge Braddy?
And a second complaint. Go get him.
Larry, can you shut him up for a second?
Yeah, all right, go ahead.
Braddy, I want to explain to you something. Our beat, the beat of Puerto Rico and the beat of Andrew Breitbart is the stories that the mainstream media will not cover because they are already in your leftist pocket, okay? They cover the stories that you want. You're telling me that Blackwater is not sufficiently covered by the New York Times, Los Angeles Times, ABC, CBS, and NBC. We cover the stories that you guys won't cover.
Okay.
There's a huge market for our stories because you guys want to control the narrative. That's it.
Who is
that's
you
the
guys?
Answer for you.
Andrew, you got a political agenda. That's fine. You can push your political agenda, but don't call it journalism.
You're a lefty.
Whatever.
It's not journalism, amigo.
You're a lefty hack.
There's nothing wrong. Do you think there's something wrong with advocacy journalism, Brad?
I do not. This is not advocacy journalism. This is activism, and this is setting up people. This is dishonest hit videos. This is not advocacy journalism.
Well, it's a sting operation.
You've already
made
up your mind about the videos. You're saying, oh, I want to hold people's feet to the fire. You've already made up your mind, even though you haven't bothered to look at the source material.
Made up my mind about what, Patrick?
About the videos. You just said that they're all hit pieces, that they're dishonest.
They are.
Acorn videos.
They are.
I'm
talking about the ones that were released under the title Acorn Child Prostitution Investigation. I'm talking about the ones where he claimed that he dressed as this ridiculous blaxploitation pimp from the 70s,
I didn't say that. You're lying.
I never said that.
You're a liar.
No, you're a liar.
Okay. You're a liar. You like lying, and you like pretending like that you're a neutral observer when you're a political hack, and you know it.
Okay.
You're a second-rate Media Matters. You're a second-rate Media Matters.
Okay.
You're an Alinskyite using misdruction and throwing poo
against
the wall.
Don't tell the truth, Andy.
I've told the truth.
Wait, hold on. Brad, you keep saying that he's not telling the truth and lying. You brought out one sentence, which really is not a clear indication that he has said anything untrue, and yet you keep saying that he's lying and not telling the truth. Do you have anything else other than this one sentence that you pulled out from the Washington Times
that you failed to quote accurately? I did not put together a book of the way that he's misrepresented
You told
your readers to come on, and all you have is a sentence that you truncate to make it seem like I said something that I didn't. And just now you even
I didn't truncate anything. What are you talking about? What are you even talking about, Andrew?
Well, because I read the sentence in full, and you were not reading the sentence in full. You were truncating it and just reading the back end.
That's completely untrue. Rewind the tape, Larry.
You asked me what was the sentence,
and I read you the whole sentence.
And then
what
you
are you
kept
talking about?
The back end. You kept
okay,
the back
and you want to tell me that this was not – that this – these Acorn hit videos were not sold as James O'Keefe dressing up in this ridiculous pimp outfit going in Acorn.
You're actually standing by that.
Bill Clinton would be proud of you, Andy Breitbart.
I never in a million years.
Not since the meaning of is is.
Whoa. I've said to you, the first time that it was even brought up to me that it even mattered, because when you look at James O'Keefe in the videos, and most of what I've done is by analyzing it through the form of the transcript and the audio. That's just the actual truth. But the stuff that I have seen, because he's in possession of the full video, the stuff that I have seen, he is 100% in possession of the taping equipment, so you're not seeing him. And so the very idea that some Huffington Post or Brad blog person multiple months into this discovered that he's dressed or not dressed as a pimp, I go, that was news to me. James O'Keefe is the independent filmmaker of this entire thing.
It was actually
everything,
in the it was actually in the report of the form of the Attorney General.
Let me finish. Everything I reported is extemporaneous as I saw it, as it happened. He showed me the edited video, and the edited video I saw, the edited video that I saw, I reported it as I saw it.
Good.
Then I put the audio and the transcripts up. That was the basis of my saying that they were trying to run a pimp and prostitution thing.
Okay, good.
So, Brad, you're calling him a liar.
I said earlier, I'll be generous. I'll say that James O'Keefe lied to Andy, and Andy bought it. I'm trying to help you out, Andy. Then call out your guy, James O'Keefe. This point was, and the reason we came on the air, the reason I was invited on the air was after I was had written an article calling for the New York Times to correct their reporting on this. And I would hope that Andrew Breitbart, that Patrick Fry, that Larry O'Connor would all join me in calling on New York Times to correct their reporting.
Would love to have a full airing of this. James O'Keefe has. I have to take it off. I gotta go. Bye.
All right, Andrew. Thank you. Andrew, can I call you Andy? Is it okay?
Said that it was because of James O'Keefe and Fox News that they believe. They said we believe him. Now, if Nancy Pelosi had gone on MSNBC and made a ridiculous claim, and the New York Times said, well, MSNBC said so, and Nancy Pelosi said so, so we believe them. You guys would hold them accountable no end, and you would be right to do so.
Of course we would, Brad, but you know what? Why are you trying to make our website something that we don't want them to be?
You can have them be whatever they want.
Brad, excuse me. We have never said that big journalism, big Hollywood, or big government is supposed to be some sort of completely even-handed, we're going to call out any kind of misrepresentation we see anywhere. No, we have a point of view. We say we have a point of view. My beef is with people from MSNBC who go in and claim that they're unbiased, and they clearly do have a point of view. Why do you hold that up as some sort of fault, some sort of flaw, that we aren't asking the New York Times to correct something about James O'Keefe?
Well, I didn't say it was a flaw.
You do it from your website. We'll do what we want from our website.
I didn't say it was a flaw. I said it's hypocritical to act like you're so concerned about child prostitution and you're not concerned about actual child prostitution that's going on for billions of dollars of taxpayer money.
Let Patrick Fry respond to that, because that's the engagement you had with Patrick over the weekend. Patrick Fry, what is your response to that?
Brad, how do you know that I don't care about something? Because I don't write about it? So if I don't write about something, I don't care about it. That's what you're saying, right?
Well, actually, that's your logic. You said that I don't care about child prostitution.
No. There is
I never said one thing or another about the Acorn employees.
Brad,
yeah.
Talking. There is a difference between not writing about something and then writing about something in a way that shows that you don't care about the core issue. For example, I haven't written about Blackwater, but if I were to write about Blackwater and throw up every sort of lame possible defense and throw up the smokescreen and talk about, well, what were the Blackwater people wearing when they were committing the child prostitution, then you would say, gee, it kind of seems like he doesn't really care about the child prostitution. That's what you've done.
You wrote a serious question. You said, why is Brad Friedman defending people who tried to aid a child prostitution ring?
And why is that?
And when was I defending people who were aiding a child prostitution ring?
The people who intended to aid a child prostitution ring. First, okay, let's take it step by step.
And actually, I'm not defending anybody. So what are you talking about?
It's the people on the Acorn videos.
I didn't say anything about them.
Let him finish, Brad.
Do you believe that any of them thought that they were aiding a child prostitution ring at any point?
It's quite possible. If we saw the evidence, we would know for sure, wouldn't we?
Oh, come on. That is pathetic. You have seen plenty of evidence that there's plenty of minutes-long stretches where,
Patrick,
where there's completely
you're a deputy DA. You know what evidence is. Release
yes,
the evidence, and there'll be no question.
And it is ironclad, the stuff that I have seen that's unedited to the point where you see several minutes in a row where James O'Keefe is saying, we want to bring in these underage girls and have them turn tricks, and people are saying, well, don't tell the government about that, and to make sure that you don't mention their age.
And yet the guy who investigated that says that he doesn't know what the questions were that the people were responding to. You're a deputy DA. You know how easy it is to edit video and audio to say whatever you want it to say.
And I say that that's bullshit, and that's the smokescreen. It's quite clear that there were people on these videos who intended to aid a child prostitution ring.
Okay, in the meantime.
For some reason, you want to defend that. You want to defend those people. Because you want to make it seem like they weren't trying to do what everybody in the country saw and heard with their own senses.
You just told me that the fact that you haven't reported on Blackwater, billions of dollars, writing off prostitution rings on the taxpayer dime, according to two different lawsuits from at least four different sets of employees, the fact that you haven't said anything about that doesn't mean you're defending them. And yet, I haven't said one thing or another about the people on that tape, what they did or didn't do, and you accuse me of supporting child prostitution.
Well, no, but Patrick's point was, what Patrick's point was is
it's fundamentally dishonest, and you cats both know that.
No, it's two lies in a row that you just told, Brad. I didn't accuse you of supporting child prostitution. I asked, why are you defending people who intended to aid a child prostitution?
And where did I defend them?
Throughout, when you have talked ad nauseum about how they're supposedly heavily...
Show me where I defended them, Patrick.
He's answering your question.
I'm answering your question.
Show me. Read it to me. Where did I defend them? I was asked...
Are you going to let me answer the question, Brad?
Sure, go ahead.
You have talked on and on.
Go ahead.
Never telling
go
you.
Go ahead.
There's full and unedited... Are you going to let me answer the question?
Yes. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Patrick,
okay, so shut your mouth and let me answer. You keep talking about how there are heavily edited videos without telling people that there's full and unedited audio out there that supports the accusations that O'Keefe and Giles made. You keep relying on this whitewash of a report that's funded by a paid Acorn consultant. You keep calling him the attorney general, the guy who's a paid Acorn consultant. He obviously never listened to the unedited audio. I don't think he mentions that in the report. And you call him independent. What do you mean independent? He's a paid consultant. If you had somebody who's doing research on lung cancer and is paid for by a tobacco company, would you call that independent? Here's another thing.
Okay.
You're asking the question. You took that lady in Philadelphia, Catherine Conway Russell, and you say you claimed that they never told her that Giles was a prostitute.
No, I didn't.
You put up that video.
No, I didn't. You know I didn't because you changed your word. You changed your words. You know I didn't.
Listen to me. You put up the video of her on the site claiming they never said that she was a prostitute.
Yep.
You knew when you put that video up that there's a video out there that proves that they did tell her that. But
I'm aware of no such video that proves any such thing, my friend.
Because you don't know any of the facts of this scandal. The video's been out for months.
I saw the video that you posted on your site after you pointed it to me, the edited video where we have no idea what she's responding to.
Oh, that's nonsense. And you also
you're a deputy DA, Patrick. You know what edited audio and video is. If you don't, I can't believe you have that job.
You also, you don't need to slander me with the way I do my job. Just I don't need that. You also uncritically quoted an Acorn spokesman saying that O'Keefe never said that he was a pimp. That's not true. If you would bother to listen to the audio,
I did.
To represent on this show that you listened to all the unedited audio.
You showed it to me on your site after you called me a liar, after you said that I claimed something that I did not claim. Do you need me to pull up the tweets, Patrick?
You said that
I lied.
Did you listen to all of the unedited audio? Have you listened to it?
No, I did not.
Okay. You just sort of implied that you did. But of course you did.
There is no, how do we know there's any unedited audio? What are you talking about?
Have you listened to the audio that's available on the website?
I have listened to some of the audio only to find out what it was and to realize that there's no clue whether it's unedited or not. That's why I've called for the release of the video.
So if on that audio James O'Keefe represents himself as a pimp, doesn't that then prove that he represented himself as a edit something in.
Yeah. You're in theater, Larry. Are you really telling me that if you heard a piece of audio where some guy says something that tells you that that's what he actually said?
And you see, Larry, this is what they do. If you put up
Stop. You guys won't release the video for a reason, I guess. I don't know what the reason
you know
is.
All right. You know what? We're going around the block. Hang on a second, Patrick.
Yeah.
Here's what we're going to do.
Patrick,
hang on just a second. Here's the deal. We've only got 10 minutes. Brad's been on for an hour and 50. I want to finish up with you, Patrick, all right?
Okay.
So let's let Brad go, and we will wrap up the show because I'm running out of time, and I do want to get with you as well. So, Brad, thank you very much for being on tonight. I hope it was all right.
Well, it was, although I tried not to talk about what Patrick was on about before he came on. I hope you guys will have that same respect if I leave. I'd be just as delighted to stick around and answer to anything that comes up along those lines.
No, honestly, that's not my plan here, but you know what? If you hear something, either right now or on the podcast later, I'll be happy to have you back on the show to respond to it.
Okay. I was ambushed by Andy Breitbart and by, you know, three different people, and I think it would be nice to stick around and finish out the show with you.
Okay, Brad. You know what? Listen, you're my guest here. I'm sorry if you feel that you were ambushed. I had no pre-plan for Andrew to call in.
Okay.
He does listen to the show, but that was not a plan at all. I did not know that he was going to call in. I knew that he was on his way to the airport, so I was surprised that he called in as well. It was not an ambush. My hand to God.
That's
but you can stay on. Patrick, what I wanted to discuss with you, honestly, was what you've been doing in terms of reporting on this story and working against. I mean, we're getting a lot of the same story from Brad and also from Media Matters for America. Do you think that they are having an impact on how the public is viewing these tapes? They keep saying that the way that James is dressed is a big part of the story. And the way I mean, my friends and the people that I know that know these videotapes, as far as they're concerned, the story is what the Acorn employees say on those tapes, right? Not what James is dressed as.
Yeah, that's the point that I was trying to make, over Brad's repeated filibusters. But, yeah, this is not a controversy that was sold because, look, there's a guy who's dressed up in a pimp costume. That's not why people were glued to their TVs when Hannity would release the new videos. What people were talking about every single night was, can you believe how explicit this guy was, not only about the fact that he's running a prostitution business, but the fact that he's running a child prostitution business? I mean, it's really just about the worst possible thing that you can think of, exploitation sexually of young children. They would give the ages 13, 14 years old. And to try to bring up what, was he dressed as a pimp or not when he's clearly representing himself to be a pimp, Brad doesn't know this because he hasn't listened to the...
Well, he wasn't.
Brad, come on. This is why I wanted to finish up with Patrick so that there wouldn't be interruptions. He's not saying anything about you.
But he's not telling the truth about what was on those tapes.
He represented himself to be a pimp. He said,
no, he didn't.
But you don't know what you're talking
about. Okay, Brad, seriously. I'm being nice and letting you on in case we say something about you that you want to respond to.
Oh, we can't talk about the story. Okay. All right.
I thought we could talk about the story.
It's like
the argument clinic. It's like, the automatic gain saying here. I mean, we're not getting anything out.
Right. I just put him on mute. So go ahead, Patrick.
Okay. And I think that he's also, I want to say, he and his ilk are also, I'm concerned that they're having an impact on the way that this current scandal, which I think we haven't talked about, but probably should a little bit, and I've done some reporting on that too, with the what they call the T-bugger scandal, in which, O'Keefe was accused right out of the gate by this New Orleans paper of having been involved in an attempt to bug Senator Landrieu's office, and then they kind of stealth corrected that. But the rumors spread around everywhere. And then, you know, this Marcy Wheeler from Fire Dog Lake started calling him a T-bugger. And
right.
Brad, on his own blog, has picked up that terminology. And, you know, days, weeks after it's been crystal clear that not even the government is alleging that he was trying to bug anybody, he still calls him a T-bugger. So that's the allegiance to the truth that this fellow Brad Friedman has. And, you know, so are they having an effect on the way people see the tapes? No, I don't think so, because the tapes speak for themselves. What I'm concerned about is, you know, you got this other situation where, just like with the Acorn thing, we want all the truth to come out. I would like to see the tapes that, that James O'Keefe was making in Senator Landrieu's office, because I think that would tell you a lot about what was really going on there, which I tend to suspect was just, you know, kind of, you know, maybe not the greatest judgment in the world, but, you know, just the kind of classic, you know, kind of undercover reporting by posing as something that he wasn't. And I think that, you know, it's probably the kind of thing that people would watch and sort of laugh at.
Well, here's what's interesting to me, I think. If you look at the genesis of the story, when it first came out, you know, Acorn's response was, oh, my gosh, this is you know, they actually, I don't know if everyone remembers this, but after the first two videos, they first said that this was an aberration. But I remember Bertha Lewis saying, you know, I owe James O'Keefe a big thank you for doing this because he's shown that we have some problems in some of our offices. Then when they kept coming, and she was saying it was an aberration, it was isolated, then the videos kept coming and kept coming and they kept coming, and that's when they turned the attack back on James. And it's a relentless attack. They've just launched a whole new round of attack. But what's interesting to me is that at every turn, Andrew has had a very, very good instinct about how and when to release what they released. And in the same way the NEA conference call story went down and the audio tapes were released about 4 weeks after the first story broke and that caught everyone sort of flat-footed, isn't it possible at this point that, you know, all we're hearing from Brad, obviously, over and over, but also from Media Matters, is release the tapes, release the tapes, release the tapes. Wouldn't it be interesting that if when these tapes are released, they actually are much more damaging to Acorn than anyone can even imagine?
Oh, yeah. Oh, and just because Andrew hasn't released them yet, there's no guarantee that that's because there's not something inflammatory there.
That's right.
Sure that there is.
They keep saying you've got something to hide, you've got something to hide. I don't know why, but my gut tells me that they're building up to something big when they release those full tapes.
No, I know. I mean, and he totally has suckered in the media, and that's what's been so brilliant about the whole strategy is it hasn't been just Acorn that he's suckered in, but it's been the media. Media Matters, for example, totally ran with this bogus L.A. Times columnist's version of events as to what happened here in Los Angeles.
Right. L.A. Times columnist actually was a consultant and board member for Acorn L.A.
Oh, was he?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Well, there. Okay. Well, yeah. Maybe we're talking about two different things. Actually, you're talking about Dreyer,
right?
Who wrote the op-ed? Yeah. No, that's right. He was, and they failed to disclose that. Then there's another columnist who's a regular columnist for him named James Rainey, and he purported to go out and investigate what had happened in Los Angeles and talk to this lady Lavelle Stewart, who said, "Oh, yeah, no, they were in here, and I was skeptical of them, and I didn't do anything." And he went and reported that, and then Media Matters ran with it and said, "Oh, L.A. is a big bust." And then when Andrew finally got around to releasing the Los Angeles video, guess who was on it? Lavelle Stewart, the same person that this sucker of L.A. Times columnist had interviewed. And it took him a long time to wipe the egg off his face on that one. And again, that's just one example of the way that Andrew has suckered in the media. They go out, they report one side of the story thinking, well, we're safe because there's no video. And then he releases the video, and it's just wham. It just, you know, whacks him across the head, and they don't know what hit him. It's great. Right. I'm just having so much fun watching it.
Well, and I don't know why, but my instinct tells me that may be the situation here, especially because the drumbeat is so loud. And, of course, I mean, I think that everybody who hears this constant call for the full videotapes to be released, there's a couple of things that everyone needs to bear in mind. First of all, again, transcripts. There's 44 pages of transcripts sitting on the webpage for each of the cities. If you go to biggovernment.com, look in the upper right-hand corner. You're going to see a link that says all of the information for the Acorn tapes. And for each one of the stories, there are audio and transcripts. Now, Brad and other people are claiming that those aren't full transcripts or full audio, that some theatrical trick is being used in keeping them from being the full audio. you know, go read them for yourself, and you tell me if you think that the narrative is different, or listen to them and see if you think that it's edited, number one. But number two, the fact that this is this huge drumbeat, release the videos, you have to understand that right now, James and Hannah and Andrew are being sued. They're being sued by Acorn, right? And I believe James and Hannah are under I think that they're under investigation in the state of Pennsylvania and the state of Maryland. And so, you know, they're asking for all of these videotapes to be released, and they're also in the midst of a lawsuit. So clearly they're not going to release anything that is going to implicate them in any way, depending on what this lawsuit is. That would be ill-advised.
Right. And I think the one other point that I'd want to make about somebody like Brad is, once the full unedited video is released, he's going to say, oh, well, that could be edited too. I mean, there's no level of proof you can provide.
There's never going to be an end. And that's why Andrew very smartly says, we will release them. I want you in the room in front of an audience when we do it.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to account for it.
Right. I mean, anybody who can watch minutes upon minutes of people having these conversations and not conclude that there's something really wrong going on, there's something wrong with them. I mean, I don't see how you can watch that stuff and think, maybe it's all fine, maybe it's all just a big editing job. That's just crazy. But that's the Brad Friedmans of the world.
Well, and as we discovered in the first half hour of the show, he put in a headline. I'll read the headline one more time. It's the disturbing racism of James O'Keefe. And when I pointed that out to him, he says, well, if you read the article, I really just say he has a racial obsession. And yet,
I don't mean
it was very difficult to get a straight response on things like that. We should see once the videotapes are released, and I'm sure that they will. I'm looking forward to it myself. I think it will be very interesting to see what the reaction is. I suspect that they will then, again, continue to say, well, these aren't the full videotapes. They're edited as well. There's no end of it. Now, can I ask you, Patrick, while I still if you don't mind, we're going over, but it was a very loaded show, so I don't mind going over as long as you don't.
Sure.
You and Andrew were both saying, and this is important for our listeners to get some more information on, you kept saying this is an Alinsky tactic that Brad was using during this call. Can you tell me and tell the listeners what you mean by that specifically, and why it's so effective, and why we need to call it out when we hear it?
Yeah, I think that was probably more Andrew saying that, but it is basically it's the fellow that Obama admires so much, the community organizer, who you might remember the exact phrase better than I do, but essentially the idea is that you respond to an argument by picking a target. And you freeze it, and you polarize it, and I think there's another aspect to it. But the essence of it is that you try to personalize it in a way where you don't talk about the facts. You just take one thing, like he did. You know, he had this one sentence that he wanted to talk for an hour about from Andrew's column, and use it to paint him falsely as a liar. And so he just basically picked Andrew, called him Andy, and tried to, you know, personalize it and diminish him and try to make it all about how he was a liar and use that tactic as a way to deflect anybody's attention from what we ought to be talking about, which is why in the world is the federal government not investigating these people when their apparent criminality is so obvious on these videos. Anybody who sits down and looks at these people talking about the mortgage fraud and the tax fraud and burying cash out in the, you know, in the tin in the backyard and all this nonsense, they have to be thinking, where's the investigation? And he said that he'll turn over all the evidence to the federal government. The federal government's not interested. And that really ought to be what we're talking about. And, you know, not this, you know, this nonsense about how somebody's dressed or something like that. It's just a big smokescreen, you know.
Right.
It's the kind of thing you see from people who are defending something or somebody that is indefensible.
Right. And they create this scenario that that what James was dressed as is the be-all and end-all of these stories. And yet, It's funny. It never really occurred to me. I mean, obviously, when you watch these videos and you see the opening sequence where he's dressed like that, it's humorous, you know. But it never even occurred to me that he was dressed that way in the office. They say that, you know, and they hold up a false narrative that what really made these stories important and what really caught people's attention was how could these Acorn employees be so stupid as to do that. But I didn't think they were stupid at all. I thought that they were brilliant. They knew the tax code. They were trying to give all of this advice about how to hide their money from the IRS. So they build up a straw man that this story is really about James and what he was dressed as, and that illustrates how stupid the Acorn employees are, when that isn't the argument that's being made with these videotapes in any way whatsoever, and that distracts the audience from what truly is the atrocious behavior that we're trying to point out.
Right, and in a way, actually, I think for a lot of people, if he was indeed dressed, you know, just in slacks and a button-down shirt or whatever it is, and I assume that that's how he was dressed, that actually removes, in my mind, one of Acorn's possible defenses, because they could try to say, well, as I think the lady in San Bernardino did claim, that, well, you know, these people were so outlandish in every way, right down to, you know, being dressed with this, you know, hat with a feather in it and the, whatever the scarf and all this nonsense, that, of course, I knew that it was a scam, that they were playing me, so I played them by playing along.
Right. And, very good point.
And so if indeed he was not dressed that way and not dressed, you know, as an outlandish, obviously fake pimp, that removes that defense from them. And plus, I think that anybody who looks at virtually all of these videos can see that the people are definitely not just playing along. I mean, they are trying to help people that they believe are criminals. And I think that what's weird about it is some of the people actually seem, in a way, to have kind of a good heart about it, you know, and that's what I think is sort of odd about it is they're saying, well, we're not going to judge you, you know. And
right. They say that. They say that we make no judgments about what. And in fact, in one of the cities, the person says to Hannah, the prostitute, don't be ashamed of what you do. You have a job. You're not robbing anybody. You should be proud that you're out there working.
Right, and you know, that could actually tug at your heartstrings if it weren't for the next step where they talk about how they're going to smuggle in, you know, 10 or 12, 13 to 14-year-old El Salvadoran girls and have them turn tricks, and the people continue to go along with this and give them advice on how to cover that up. And that's where it becomes, you know, whatever their initial motives are, it's just shameful behavior. It seems to me, I'm not a federal prosecutor, so I can't, you know, speak to whether it violates federal laws, but it certainly seems like it would. It kind of seems to a layman like tax fraud and like illegal behavior, and certainly very, very immoral behavior, and certainly behavior that should be condemned. But you know, you got people like this Eric Bollert from
Bollert,
Bollert and Brad Friedman. They're not interested in condemning this. They're just interested in finding ways to defend against it. And that's what, when I said to Brad, I don't understand why it is that you're defending people who intended to aid a child prostitution ring. I mean, that was a serious question that I was asking him, you know, and he gets his nose out of joint, but that's why I was asking him, well, do you think that that's what they were doing? And if he was going to be honest, he would say, yeah. Obviously, some of them did believe that that's what they were doing.
Well, the problem with this circular argument that we keep getting is that as soon as you call them on that, and as soon as you say, you know, why are you putting it that when clearly this is what was happening, their only response is, well, we don't know that's what was happening. Let's release the full videotapes. And it just becomes, it did become quite tedious, unfortunately. You know, listen, I'm hoping that Brad will come back on the air. I hope he really doesn't feel like he was being ambushed. I did not know that Andrew was going to call in, but clearly seeing him on the air, on the line, it was going to, you know, certainly make for an engaging conversation. And I think it was an engaging conversation. Instead of lobbing grenades through Twitter and such, I think it was good to actually hear people's positions, and I think that Brad is on board with the idea of getting everybody together to air these videotapes in public. So I'm hoping that that we'll gain some momentum there.
Yeah, yeah. You know, there's a lot of stuff he says he's for that I don't think he really is. But, you know, we can probably get him to say it just because that's what you got to say to sound like you're rational. So.
Well, he was my guest, and I'd like to believe that he was being genuine there. I do.
Okay.
And I take issue with I do think that he didn't own up to using the term racism with regard to James O'Keefe. And again, I'm glad that Andrew called in also because I hate being in the position of having to speak for Andrew. I can't, you know, he can speak for himself just fine. But I can speak for what I wrote, and I know this story about the supposed white supremacist conference that continues to float around on the internet, and Brad's blogging about it has actually continued that. And as we went through, and he tried to make the case for this supposed pattern of racism in James O'Keefe's life, it's very frustrating that if somebody in the conservative side of the equation tries to make a political point on an issue that might happen to have to do with racial relations, they're suddenly called a racist. And I think that it defies credulity for Brad to tell me that he wasn't calling James O'Keefe a racist, but the headline of his post says the disturbing racism of James O'Keefe. I can't square that circle.
I mean, that I thought was the most entertaining moment of the whole show. Also, raising the claim that he, you know, somehow wanted to abort black babies, and that was his implication, until you showed that you knew what he was talking about and called him on it. But, you know, what he wants to do is just rattle off one, you know, I can't even call him a half-truth, one quarter truth after another, not give you a chance to explain the context and just say, well, all these quarter truths, you know, they add up to a full truth once you pile a whole bunch of them
right.
up. And, this is
and as I said, I hate racists. This is the thing that, and when they did this to James, this is what really got me going. And I, you know what, bring it on, do it some more, because this is what they do now. They say we've knocked this one down now about this, whether he planned this conference, and it wasn't a conference, it was a debate, and he wasn't working at it. He just happened to be in the room. But that being said, we've knocked this down, and they say, well, okay, maybe it wasn't exactly as said, but look at all the other things that he's done in his life. And these are the things they point to. He was doing a sting operation trying to catch Planned Parenthood's racism. Not his racism, Planned Parenthood's racism. He
right.
said, I want to donate money to Planned Parenthood, but only if it will abort black babies, which is a disgusting, outrageous thing to say. But what's more disgusting and outrageous is Planned Parenthood saying okay. That's what the point was, number one.
Right.
Number two, he had an affirmative action bake sale, which happens on almost every college campus now. It's a big deal. And what they do is they charge full price for white students, half price for black students, quarter price for Latino students, on down, to illustrate the absurdity of affirmative action. But they say that that is racist. It's not racist. It's anti-affirmative action. Number
right.
three, he brings up this thing about Lucky Charms, and this is pretty funny. He, again, James O'Keefe uses absurdity to point out the absurdity of the left. So he brings up the Lucky Charms cereal box to the people at Rutgers, and he says, I am Irish-American, and the fact that you're selling Lucky Charms here on campus and showing this caricature of this leprechaun on the cover of the box, I find that offensive to my people. And you know what Rutgers University did? They agreed with him, and they stopped selling Lucky Charms. But they point to that as a racist thing. And then they pointed to the Acorn videos and said, well, because it was black women in the offices, he was racist. And because
right.
he – but again, then we show the videos where he's in there with white people. The people in Philadelphia and the people in California were white. So that gets blown out of the water. So every single thing they point out gets blown out of the water as not racist, and then they point to all the things that we just blew out of the water and say, well, there's your pattern of racism.
Right. And it's not even just Salon. I mean, you may recall that last year the Washington Post did an interview with him and suggested that he had said that he had targeted Acorn because they register a lot of low-income minority, like black and Hispanic people, to vote.
Right. And they attributed that as a quote to him.
Right, which it absolutely was not, and then they ended up having to retract it, which, by the way, he really does seem to be the target of some of the most biased reporting out there. And that, the Washington Post had to retract that. The New York Times had to issue a retraction last year about something else. The LA Times has had to issue several corrections with respect to him. And then the thing with Landrieu's office came along, and big journalism and Retracto have been nailing one organization after the other, and they've been issuing what seems like, you know, dozens. I mean, sure, it's not quite that many, but a lot of retractions out there.
All right, Patrick.
Why about this guy?
Patrick Fry from Paterico.com, thank you for joining us. Here's the deal. You mentioned Retracto, and I would love to lighten the mood by playing a little bit of the Retracto song. And I'm looking on the switchboard. It looks like Brad is still with us, so I do want to let him have a chance to say goodbye. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to play the Retracto song. We'll let Brad come in and have a quick word, and then we are out of here and packing for D.C. Patrick, thank you so much for joining us tonight. I really appreciate
it. I had a really good time. Thanks for having me.
Great, thanks. And here's Retracto.
A horse in this race, but Retracto knows he does. Now he's got egg on his face. The donkeys on the lookout, owned by a kid. They can say he is well a crime, but Retracto knows what he's
doing.
I love Retracto. I really love Retracto. All right. And Brad, let's get Brad Freeman on. Brad, thank you for being my guest tonight. And you have to admit it, Brad, you like Retracto, the correction alpaca. He's cute, isn't he?
I hope Retracto, who has no horse in the race, will also call for a retraction from the New York Post and the National Review Online, who misreported the same story concerning O'Keefe and the wiretapping business that you guys called on everybody else to retract, but not Rupert Murdoch's New York Post and not the National Review Online.
Well, you know why.
What's that?
You know why we didn't do that.
Why is that?
Because Retracto was part of the vast right-wing conspiracy.
Okay. Anyway, you guys, you know, it mischaracterized my argument, unfortunately, and you had me on mute, unfortunately, and
well, that's
so
why I've got you back.
Reply to all of those things. I did not say that he was a racist because he was targeting black people, as you said, that, quote, they did. I, you know, it said that he has a pattern of racial obsession, a pattern of racism in his targets, and that dressing up as a pimp, a 70s black pimp, to cap it all off, after all of those things that you went through that you mischaracterized about what I said, that was the point. And if we had had an honest discussion, an intellectually honest discussion about these things, instead of an ambush from Crazy Boy at the airport, you know, we could have discussed these things, because I don't think that, you know, I'm not disagreeing with you guys doing what you're doing and holding the media's feet to the fire and holding government's feet to the fire. I'm saying do it honestly. And that was not done in this case, and you guys know you would have shoved it up the NBC, CBS, ABC, CNN, MSNBC, and all the rest, except for Fox, had they done something as fundamentally dishonest as this entire campaign was.
Well, let's get back to the racial obsession issue, because honestly, out of all these things, that's what fires me up the most.
Okay. Well, you haven't written about that. What you wrote about was the media malpractice, the journalistic malpractice. I've highlighted journalistic malpractice in the pages of the New York Times, the senior editor for Standard, essentially making something up to justify a story that was completely wrong. And there seems to be no concern about that whatsoever, because what they got wrong benefited the storyline, the political agenda that you guys, or at least Breitbart and O'Keefe, were after.
You just said that O'Keefe had a pattern of racial obsession and racial targets, I believe is the word you use, the targets of his pranks or whatever you want to call them.
Yeah.
So who was the target in the Planned Parenthood phone call scam that they did?
Well, I haven't studied the whole scam. What I was talking about, and it was an article where I pointed over to Blumenthal's piece where he makes the case and pulls together these dots, which I think show a very disturbing pattern. There seems to be one interest that James O'Keefe has in mind, and it has to do with whatever you want to call it.
Okay, I'm asking for specifics. What were you just said that there is a pattern of the targets of his plans being you know racially motivated. Give me another one if you don't want to talk about the Planned Parenthood one.
Well, I think it was to draw out in the Planned Parenthood case, from what I know about it, from the little that I know about it, from having read about it, having listened to the actual tapes, I know that even the conservative group that he was working with, as I understand it, let him go because he wanted to dishonestly edit some of those phone calls or the transcripts of those calls. That comes from a right-winger who said he has a history of being dishonest in representing these things that he does, whatever you want to call them. So when you combine all of those things, and you combine...
And again, I'm not asking for combining anything. I'm asking for, on each individual thing, tell me where the racial target was. Let's go to the bake sale. What was the target of the bake sale?
Obviously, he's got an obsession with affirmative action issues that he was trying to highlight.
And can you have it's not obsession. I share his views on affirmative action. Are you saying that I'm obsessed and I have racist tendencies as well?
You don't have a 5-year history of putting together elaborate schemes to highlight these things. That was the point of that article.
You say that there's this history, but each one of the things in that history are not racially motivated, and you haven't been able to prove that they are. Let's go to one.
You find nothing racial. There's no racial issue at all in the bake sale business. Is that what you're saying?
No, it's a political issue.
Not a racial issue.
I asked you before, can you be against affirmative action without having any racial animus?
And I said, of course you can. Now,
there you go.
So there's no racial issue there. It's a political issue. There's no racial issue in the Planned Parenthood, but I only want to give money for aborting black babies. No
Absolutely
racial
not.
Issue
if
there.
Anything, well, clearly he was saying that in an absurd way to point out the fact that the racial problem in that story is the fact that Planned Parenthood accepted the money.
That's right. Fair enough.
They should be who you're angry at. They are the racists.
I'm not angry at all. I'm pointing out what I reported, what I stood by, pointing over to Blumenthal's article showing this guy's racial history.
So each one of these pointing out Planned Parenthood's racism makes him racist.
I'm sorry?
You think that James O'Keefe pointing out Planned Parenthood's racism is actually a reflection on James O'Keefe's racial animus?
On his racial obsession was, I think, the word that I used. And, yeah, there's when you combine all of these things, all of these campaigns that he's run have all, in one way or another, had something to do with let's call it a racial divide that he seems to be obsessed with.
So do you think that the Mary Landrieu story was really a racial thing?
Not that I can tell, but we don't know much about that. And what's interesting about that is that he came out with a statement that, was frankly preposterous on its face, falls apart on its face, and several different people responded as much, including a conservative attorney. And I don't believe that, I don't believe that big government – I know you're talking about the racist thing, but I'm talking about – you asked me about Landrieu, and I'm saying that he gave an explanation, and we don't know what his explanation is.
All right, fine. But so far that doesn't fit into the racial pattern.
We have no idea what he was doing down there at all.
So far what we know, it doesn't fit into the racial pattern.
That's correct.
What about Acorn? Is Acorn racism?
I think dressing up as a 70s-era blaxploitation.
I thought he wasn't wearing those clothes.
He was when he sold the story.
Oh, all right. So that part of it.
He was right. When he went on Fox News and was introduced as this is the exact costume he wore up and down the Eastern Seaboard in the offices of Acorn. Yeah. And, you know, if you read the news stories, if you read the news coverage that he got in places like, you know, the Baltimore Sun, a young man and woman dressed as caricatures of a pimp and prostitute walk into the Baltimore Acorn office. He was.
So this is remarkable to me. So when they say, or when he says, and they say that he was dressed up like a caricature of a pimp, you are the one who's immediately saying, well, that means he's dressed like a black man. Are you saying that a white pimp doesn't dress that way?
Okay. All right. Well, now we've gone from the ridiculous absurd.
Well,
so if this is really the discussion you want to have. Look, Larry, I wanted to come on and talk to you because I was disturbed when O'Keefe's statement came out, which didn't make sense on its face. And there was a lot of people who were responding to that, some serious, credible people. And nobody, you know, over at Big Government would refer over to that information. When I have, like I said, if you want to write an article about me, Patrick wrote three different articles about me. I linked to all of them. I pointed folks over to all of them. When he was shown to be absolutely wrong about what he said the Times reported, he hid that post on a separate page, said, oh, we don't have room for it on the front page, while he left all day long an article up at the top that said, why is Brad Friedman defending child prostitution? When I had done no such thing. I'm saying be tough, hold these people's feet to the fire, but be fair. You don't have to be intellectually dishonest. There's enough actual real bad guys and real corruption going on out there for everybody to bust them. But
all
if
right,
you've got only a political agenda and you're not really doing journalism, then you're not really being honest. And we could use some people being honest. I don't give a damn what side of the political aisle you're on.
I agree. I think that honesty and intellectual honesty is paramount, and that's why I really implore you to revisit the headline that you wrote, which says the disturbing racism of James O'Keefe. If you
what do you feel I should change it to?
Well, listen, if you are saying that James O'Keefe is guilty of disturbing racism, then it's fine. But you haven't owned up to that. You've said that he has a pattern of racial obsession. So if I were you, if that's your really the point of your article, I think that you might want to change the headline to the disturbing pattern of racial obsession of James O'Keefe. I think that would be clearer.
You know what? I'm happy to, and I'm happy to note that you were the one who suggested I do it, that you were offended by it. I'm happy to, you know, put this correction in there transparently, not hidden somewhere.
Well, listen,
it's
only
really not a problem. And if that was your interest, you should have asked me to do it. If you felt that was misleading, you should have left a comment. I would have been happy to take a look at that. I'm not trying to hide. I'm not trying to deceive people. And by the way, for the record, I go after Democrats and Republicans and everybody alike. So, you know, I don't have a political agenda, a partisan agenda here.
You know
I'm
what? I will, as usual, let's let the readers and the listeners decide that. We have talked about your blog all night, and hopefully it'll get lots of traffic. That's bradblog.com. You can all read it and decide for yourself if he is even-handed in who he goes after. And I do really appreciate you coming on the show tonight, and I honestly hope that you can come on again another time.
Actually, I will, but next time I'll drive down to Orange County. We'll do it on purpose because this getting mugged by the phone thing isn't cool.
All right, Brad. Thanks again.
Thank you, Larry.
You're welcome.
Good night.